and we have liftoff.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Psychic Journeyman here on Psychic Journeyman Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. How are you? How's it going? I'm actually doing pretty good, yes. I'm actually like zipping right now. I've had enough water to sink a battleship, if it's possible. And it's been one of those things. And today is called Free Angel Reading Saturday. So welcome to the show. And I have a guest with me today. Her name is Amy. I don't know how to pronounce your last name. But she has a great
Arrows.
Show. Arrows? Is it? Oh, okay. Okay. Smack me on that one. She has a show here on Block Talk Radio called Cupid Psychic Aim. Welcome to the show, Amy. How are you?
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for having me, Donnie.
Oh, man. It's fantastic to have you. I've been on your show a couple of times, and I just had a ball there. So we're trying to, you know, we're going to produce the same thing over here, too. We're going to have a great show. And it's great
awesome.
To have you here. Great to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you.
So, for some reason, I kind of got lost on that one. I really had a great thought, too, I'm pretty sure. I always have good thoughts. Amy, I wanted to go over some things with you. And, like I said, I've been on your show a couple of times. I just think it's fantastic. You're very insightful. And I really haven't heard anything negative about you, so therefore you're really projecting that positive thing and just having a great positive life. So
well,
like
thank you so much. I try to not only talk the talk but walk the walk as well, you know, so that I'm not being a hypocrite and asking any client of mine to do anything that I wouldn't do myself, you know.
Yes. No, I don't. I know that very clearly because, I mean, you probably had this yourself before when you're doing readings and you're talking to people, you have these eureka moments in your own life of answering questions and situations you're in by doing readings for other people. You come up with answers and solutions too as well.
Oh, absolutely. Everyone has problems, you know, and us readers, we aren't exempt, you know.
Too bad too, huh? too bad. For every reading, we get rid of a problem. I wish it was like that, because I would have probably be problem-free right now. But I would sit there looking over the thing and say, okay, it's a great thing to do. And I had some eureka moments this week and last week where I was like, thinking about, we talk a lot about angels and the law of attraction and focusing on a lot of things of manifestation. And I was thinking to myself, I said, I can't be really true to what I'm doing if I'm not doing exactly the same thing myself. So I realized that I was actually charging people according to bringing in quantity of, you know, like lots of people, and I started losing track of the situation and started saying no. It was kind of funny because I was sending out emails and saw this thing called Light and Love, and I'm sitting there going, every time I say the word love, that's the reason I love doing readings, because it's just, I think it's another way of expressing that. So
absolutely. Universal love is definitely, I think, the tie that binds us all as readers and as querents, you know?
Mm-hmm. So I had to pull back and say, okay, I have to be true to myself as well. And actually it says in the Bible that, you know, to thyself be true. I hope that's not Shakespeare. It is the Bible, right?
you know, to be honest with you, I'm not too well versed in organized religion. I'm more of the, I wouldn't call myself a pagan, but I'm definitely a naturalist. I'm a spiritualist.
Oh,
and
no.
I don't get into dogma or rules too often, and the Bible has a lot of them. So not that against anything with regards to the Bible, to each their own. You know, I just happen not to follow any type of organized religion.
Okay, no, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I definitely
believe in being true to yourself. Absolutely, Donnie, you bring up a great point.
Okay.
Very important.
I try, you know. And that was what the thing was, because people were sitting there telling me all the time. They said, "You're not charging enough." And I'm sitting there going, so I came on the show one day and said, okay, by popular demand, I'm raising my prices. And the reason I'm raising my prices is because you've all asked me to do just that, because you say you want me to be true to myself. And I said, I came up with this eureka moment myself when you all did that and said, well, like, gosh, I can't teach people how to go out and get exactly what they want and have the life they want if I'm not doing it myself. So there's a lot of changes. And it seems like it's one of those changing years. It's a changing year, you know, 11s. I know this is my year because it's just as we're going into this whole thing, I describe it as being on a plastic raft, on like an inflatable raft going over waterfall, but laughing all the way. Because it's a changing moment, but I know as soon as I hit the bottom, it's going to smooth out and everything's going to be fine. So it's kind of a...
Right.
So, what was I going to say?
It's a great way, actually, not to interrupt you, but it's a wonderful way to figure out where you're at. There's a method a friend of mine gave me with regards to the tarot and figuring out what year you're in or what the theme of your year is.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, let's do this now for you. If you're game, Donnie, I'd love to see what year you're in, because I just got out of the Wheel of Fortune year, and that's all about changes. I moved from Pennsylvania to Virginia. There were so many changes that happened in my life last year. It was unbelievable.
You were living
now
in Pennsylvania?
Now I'm in the justice year. I was living in Pennsylvania. I moved to Virginia. I increased my prosperity level by 25%. I've done a lot in the last year. I created Blog Talk Radio, the show. I got my website up and running. Lots of good things happened in my year of change. So let's figure out what yours is. What do you think? I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, go right ahead. No, that sounds like fun
okay,
to me.
So,
yeah, I like yes. Love experiencing these things. But anytime I get the chance, well, one thing I like about Blog Talk Radio, if you don't know about a lot of things out there with spirituality that you haven't crossed paths with, in this kind of way, you do. And I've actually been introduced to a lot of things. So yeah, go right ahead.
Okay, so all I need really is your birth date. Can you give me that?
I don't know, man. Now you're taking too far. Okay. My birthday is April 26th.
April, did you say?
Yeah, April 26th.
Okay, so we're going to take 4, and we're going to add 26 to that. Now, to find out what the theme of this year for you is, we're going to take 2011, and we're going to add that to 4 and 6, and then simplify. So that comes out to 7. All right, so we take the number, and we line it up to the corresponding major arcana, and I should have this memorized, but I don't, so you're going to have to forgive me while I look it up here. I believe 7 is the chariot, but I have to double-check and see. Let's just make sure here before
now
I go
look
and
real quick.
Out of turn. I know 8 is strength. I know 9 or 11 is justice. Okay, let's see here. 7.
I think 7 is.
Yeah, 7 is the chariot. Yeah, it is.
There you go.
And that's awesome. That's all about forward progress and about moving forward, you know? It can also talk about vehicles as well, or purchasing a new vehicle. So I don't know if you're going to be purchasing a vehicle. But, you know, symbolically, this talks about, you know, kind of taking our opposites, meaning our light side and our shadow side, and moving forward in our goals and progression, rather than kind of maybe, you know, resting on our own laurels or contemplation. No, this is about action and movement.
Action and movement. And then somewhere, I like to hear somebody say, action and movement, and someone say, hey, how would you like to hop in my vehicle and go to Colorado? I'd be gone in a second. I swear I would. It'd be like, I don't care if you are a person who's got 3 eyes and 4, you know, 4 arms. It's go. It makes it easier to drive that vehicle when you get in those little skidding things. You can 3 extra arms. But it's just one of those things. I'm just saying, with the situation, dancing toes, I don't care if you got little demons dancing on your dashboard. I'm out of here. But but with the situation.
So you're already feeling that pull to move forward. You want to go to Colorado. You want to move forward.
I was just trying to put it in perspective of saying, because right now it's like one of those things, maybe sometimes I have a tendency to rethink things too many times, but now I'm trying to, fine-tune that, where I look at things. And today my friend was telling me, I did a reading with my friend, and she was doing, she channels, and she's really good at bouncing things off and, you know, bring it to your attention. And I was sitting there, she goes, your angels tell you need to start writing in your journal again. And then they want you to say this every day, I am enough. Instead of trying to expect so much, just say right to this day, this live in the now is saying, I am enough. So I said, okay, as I'm looking at my journal, I started realizing that I had already written a thing in the front of my journal, and by her bringing it to my attention to, you know, start writing in my journal again, I looked at my journal and I said, oh, look at this. I am blessed every day with 4 private $100 readings. And I'm sitting there going, I already had it down. I've been rethinking it so much, I forgot what I even wrote in the front of my journal. But sometimes situations are pulling you back and saying, hey, you know something? Take a look in your journal. And I think I just love it so cool. It's so cool how my angels have a tendency to lead me to something that was so obvious that I missed, but how they maneuver me there in this caring, loving way. And that's what I've been trying to do. What I do readings and stuff is lovingly maneuver people in the right direction where they can actually pick it up and go, ooh, okay, great, and to take off with it, you know? Send out that love and say, hey, you know, I just want to keep doing this all the time. And how can I keep continuously doing that? And they said, well, just to keep doing it. And they said, okay, that sounds pretty obvious. And they go, it is obvious. It's just that simple. You're making it more complicated than it really is. And they said, you should also go back in the archives and listen to how you do readings, because that's what you tell everybody else. So I think it's time to start listening to your own advice. And I'm sitting there going, that's exactly what I did. It was just silence. So, when, you know, we went over the whole thing, it was just great. I just loved it. So
that's great.
So I wanted to, enough about me. I'm trying to talk about myself. I know myself very well, but I don't know you. But you seem like a very fascinating woman, and you seem like you put this show together. And I did take a look at your website, and I was very impressed with that whole thing, because it's one of those things where we always try to have an effect, not a theatric thing. It's just the idea we're trying to I don't know how you put it. It's like, when we do these shows, we're trying to come off real and genuine. And when I looked at your website, that's exactly what I saw.
I'm sorry, when you looked at it, I couldn't hear you. What did you say when you looked at it?
When I looked at your website, the energy that came from that website basically resonated that you were a very loving, caring person, and I was pulled right into it. I was just like, that's what I want, you know.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. That's such a nice compliment.
Oh yeah,
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I tried to take that website and the formation of it and kind of take colors that reflect me. I put a picture of myself up there and spent a lot of time writing the text for that website and setting it up so that it was user friendly and so that people upon visiting it could really get an idea of who I am, what I stand for, and what I do and what I can do for potential clients. So it's been a great thing.
Yeah, it was just one of those things. I was like, you know, that was great. It was like, just the effect just really came off of you. So, and I'm just saying, the one thing that got me the most was it's just loving, caring person. So therefore, I would definitely get a reading from you, which I have, but I'm just saying.
Well, you know, my whole business, Cupid's Healing Hearts, was started out of a disaster, basically. I'd been reading since I was 15. Actually, my guide introduced herself to me when I was 4, but with growing up and boys distracting me and whatnot, it wasn't until I was 15 that I started with tarot cards and trying to get in touch with that little voice inside my mind that would talk to me from time to time. And over the years, you know, I would read for family and read for friends and towards the latter part of my 20s, I fell head over heels in love with somebody, and this person had a lot of problems. And it was the first time I had to, you know, let go, basically, that whole lesson about letting go and realizing through heartache and heartbreak that there's a lot of people that are going through the same types of issues. And I had a client at the time that turned me on to Keen.com, where I also work as under the name Cupid's Healing Hearts. And that's what I talk to people about pretty much every day. I was born on Valentine's Day. I've always felt a pull to the love and relationship side of things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I talk to people about these soul connections and about connections that, you know, you just can't shake, and how to get past them, how to not so much get rid of them, because I don't think we ever truly stop loving people, but it's more about loving ourselves and moving forward in our own lives. And if that person's going to catch up, they're going to catch up. And if they don't, there are so many other wonderful people to experience in this world. Because, you know, I was just left depressed, devastated, and heartbroken at the end of that relationship. And it took me over a year to meet another person and to learn how to trust all over again. So, you know, I started this kind of in a way to help people get through that terrible time of, you know, desperately wanting to know. I mean, I spent so much money on psychics trying to tell me what this person was going to do, how right. they felt about me. And really, in hindsight, looking back, I was dealing with a very immature person who didn't know how to express or deal with their feelings. If someone could have just told me that, it would have saved me a lot of grief and a lot of anguish and a lot of time. Because we, you know, a couple of friends of mine and I, we'd go on Keen and we'd spend, I mean, between the three of us, we probably have spoken to more than 70% of the psychics out there. And, you know, honestly, it's a shame, but there's not too many that really, really can do this work. A lot of people claim to be able to do this work. A lot of people I've called, you know, and I've written down predictions and I've listened to what they had to say. And a lot of people are out there giving false hope. And that kind of tripped me up, coming from a place of heartbreak and despair, where I really needed some honest answers. And it seemed like most of the people I talked to didn't have the heart to give them to me. So I try and bring that honesty and that straightforward approach into my readings. And a lot of times people have a hard time hearing it. And it is difficult, because when you want something so bad, it's very hard to hear you're not going to get it. But at the same time, I think there are reasons why things don't work out as well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. No, I believe the same thing that you were saying before, too. We never stop loving anybody. It's just the idea of coming to a conclusion that that person's not ready for what we're giving. So they can't give it back. So they have to. They're still going through their learning processes, I guess. I mean, I've done that too. I mean, about 2 years ago, I had the same freaking situation where it was just like, oh man, am I really seeing what I'm seeing here? And it was kind of funny too, because right now I've had a lot of readings in the last couple of weeks that kind of reflect that whole thing of they've already come up with they already know what they know. They already know what they need to do. They just have to accept it and follow through with it. And they all knew that. It was kind of, you know, and they're all sitting there going, wow, that's kind of crazy, because you're sitting there describing exactly what's going on and that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, I know, but what are you going to do? You know, you have to make the decision. I can sit there and point things out to you. I can make predictions till doomsday. But if you're not willing to follow through with these things, they're not going to happen. And the idea of what you know is scaring you so much that you could sit there and say you are a psychic yourself, because you see the outcome. It scares you, and you don't want to go down that road just yet. But you know you need to. And I was just, it's kind of, you know, and when they decide to do make the choice and they call back and said he did, you feel all happy about the whole thing and start jumping through the ceiling and going, okay, great. And one more person has crossed over to make the right decision, because that's what she knew she needed to do, instead of falling into this lot of trap that we do where it's like, what's the most responsible thing to do? We're married. We've only been married for 6 months, and they stay in the relationship and not looking at what's really going on and looking at the situation. So, okay, it's a mistake. We all make mistakes. And just looking at it simply that way, I guess I guess that human side has a tendency to kick in and go, okay, let's make this as complicated as possible. And then your spiritual side, pops in and go, no, just make a decision and go on. It's simple. But for some reason, we have a tendency to choose that human side as no.
We want to believe. You know, we want to believe so badly that what we want is going to come to us. And unfortunately, at least for the people in my field, from what I've experienced, most psychics don't want to lose your money and your calls by telling you the truth, because they know you don't want to hear it. So instead, they kind of give you a little bit of a sugar-coated response and keep you semi-satisfied until the prediction doesn't come to pass, and then you call them again and you ask them, so what happened? And they say usually 9 times out of 10, you know, say that either something changed or something that you did or did not do changed the reading, which I completely agree with. I mean, I'm not really sitting here criticizing that response. But
right.
when someone, you know, in my readings, I do try and give someone a direction and say, okay, is there anything that this person can do to get what they want? Sometimes mm-hmm. the answer is no. If there
right.
is an answer, there is something that someone can do to alleviate the situation or to help them, I will
mm-hmm.
definitely give them that information and say, really try this. You know, this is the way to go. And sometimes it's
yeah.
a hard road, you know. Like, it could be sit on your hands and do nothing or let them go, you know. This will
mm-hmm.
be revisited, but you really, the more you try and push, the further away you're pushing this person. So,
yeah,
it's a various number of answers that can be given in a reading, but I think, you know, direction is key.
Yeah, because, I mean, I actually wanted to change the word reading to sessions, because they're not just readings. I mean, when you have an hour session with somebody, I guarantee you, you've already answered the questions in the first part of the reading. And then the last part is more of sitting down, talking about the situation, what are you going to do, and what you're picking up exactly with, like you said, leading somebody in the right direction. But they already know, you're just trying to bounce it back to them and say, yeah, that's the correct way to go. Confirmation here. So it was
yes,
just...
and a lot of people are sometimes just calling for that confirmation. They already really have the answer. I remember I talked to a client yesterday, and I you know, she didn't ask me any questions. I told her the whole spiel, and that's something that I really do try and impress upon the people that listen to my show or get readings
uh-huh.
from me. I don't ask you any questions. All I really need is a name and a direction to focus on. That kind of gives some authenticity to what I'm doing, I think. But she said, you know,
mm-hmm.
you got the whole thing right. I just really needed to hear it from someone who knew nothing about it. You knew it all,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
Not to say, you know, that made me feel good, but it, you know, it did, because, you know, at least she's getting that confirmation that, you know, okay, here's somebody who knows nothing about me, knows nothing about my situation. She's saying it the same way I am, so I must be on the right course, you know.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Because I mean, I've had a couple of those too recently here, where people are like, okay. I mean, I've done a reading like this where I just sit there and go, okay, guy walks in, doesn't want to tell me nothing. I sit there and go over the cards, say, okay, that's what's going on. And went through the whole thing for about 20 minutes, and he looked at me and he goes, okay, so what should I do? I said, okay, great. I got the whole thing right, you know. But it was like looking at him going, it's like you already know what you need to do. You just wanted me to pick up on the whole thing to get confirmation, or maybe a little bit more concrete to what you already knew what you needed to do. And he was like, exactly.
Right.
So therefore, I should follow through with what I'm going to do right now. I said, most definitely. So it was... You know, some people would look at that as being vague, but I look at it as a connection with that person, that we knew what was going on, and no one else needed to know in the first place. It was just his little situation and my information, and it was just a kind of a telepathic thing going back and forth. But he knew exactly what it was all about, so that therefore it definitely was worth what he said it was. Excuse me. I think the most impressive reading I ever did was for a biker who walked in and he looked at me and he says, tell me something. And like you were talking about before, about telling the truth, I looked at this guy and I said, man, you're the most nicest man in the world, but you kind of, you're always playing this badass person and doing this all kind of stuff. But even to the point right now, you're tired of that whole thing and you just want to be yourself. And we went through the whole thing and finished it up. And the guy looked at me and he goes, that was one of the best $25 I've ever spent in my life. He said, you never held anything back or nothing. You just told me exactly the way it was. And I'm like, well, thank you, but that's what I'm supposed to do, right? And he goes, that's what they say, but, you know, when you go down these, some people, it's like all this mystics and smoke and stuff. He said, I'm just tired of it. And I said, well, I'm glad I could show you the real side of the whole freaking thing, and thank you very much. And he went out the door, and I was just, you kind of stop for a minute, kind of look at the whole thing, and saying, that's what it's all about, and that's what you want to do more of. Because, I mean, with the situation we're doing now, we have a very full queue. And for some reason, I can hear these people going, we want answers. But... But the one thing I wanted to top on real quick, we did this yesterday. It was kind of fun. I had Harriet Knight on the show yesterday. I don't know if you know who she is, but she's a master healer, and she's a psychic too. And if you ever talk to this lady and sit down and have a conversation with her, sometimes I look at people and go, master healer, huh? But she deserves that name. I mean, she knows exactly what she's talking about. She's very deep. Very detailed about the whole thing. And we were sitting there talking about What we did was I would sit there and go, okay, we're going to go in the queue, and we're going to take some callers, and we started guessing who they was before we answered them and what they were going to be calling about. And I was right. I was right up until this one guy called and he says, well, I'm not a female. I'm not asking a question about a relationship, but that's okay because I actually called to talk to Harriet anyway. So I'm thinking, going, okay, maybe the reason I messed up on that one is because he was focusing more on her. So it was the idea of the relationship between the two of them that he might have been focusing on. But the one thing, you were sitting there talking about people having being fearful. Have you noticed that in the metaphysics and supposed to be people who are supposed to, and I'm just saying this from what I've experienced, okay? So it's the idea of the spirituality lifestyle. You would think these people would be more detailed and focused on success and to the point of saying, this is the way it is, but they always seem to be scared to death that they're going to, like you said, lose clients and lose money more than most of the people I've actually seen in other careers.
Well, yeah, I agree. And you know, not to talk down about any other psychics in my field, I don't want to give your listening audience the wrong impression, but yeah. From what I found in my work, in my experience, and calling a lot of other readers before I started this work myself, from what I've seen, a lot of people can talk the talk, but when it comes to actually following through with the walk, they're uh-huh. just not doing it. A lot of people like to, and I think this is where the overly positive readings come in too, a lot of people want that type of answer or response themselves, so they think other people do as well. I'd mm-hmm. rather hear something very psychically honest that's negative than something totally not psychic that's very fluffy and positive, you know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I think it really depends on your own spiritual program that you work in. You're working. Like, for instance, and you can ask my producer for my show, Jeremy, I don't worry about money at all. I can really say that I am free from the bonds of you know, poverty mentality or lack mentality, and money comes to me all the time. You know, it's not something I focus on overly. It's not something I worry about, because worry is just prayer for what we don't want to happen.
That's where I heard that.
But I try and impart that with my clients too. You know, if there's something that you want, think about getting it like you already have it. Think about it not from I don't have this. Think about it from a standpoint of it's already coming to my physical reality. It's not mm-hmm. quite here yet, but get just as excited as you would if it were being handed to you. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You have to raise your vibrational energy to be able to attract it in.
Oh, no, we talk about it all the time here.
I'm constantly
saying to people, okay, I want you to focus on what you're going to do, but I also want you to sit there and have a little picture in your mind and picture yourself, what would it be like if you had that right this minute? What would that feel like? And then basically harness that feeling, that energy, because what happens is your vibration is going up at that moment and aligning you to what you are trying to attract. So therefore, that's why I would go with the emotional part. And also the same thing with the ideal, we always talk about Jesus. And I know the idea, and I don't look at Jesus as organized religion. I look at him as a person who came to basically tell it the way he saw it and what he felt. And I feel like the reason people listened to him because he wasn't a preacher who was bouncing and jumping across the stage with a tambourine. He was just a person speaking his passion and what he believed in, and he believed it so heartily that people saw that and they were attracted to that because he lived it. He was a reflection of that. But if you sit there and look at the situation, he also said, don't focus on my birth. Don't focus on my death. Focus on the outcome. And I was like, okay, hold on for a minute. That's like manifestation, isn't it? Don't worry about the middle part. Just live your life. And then the outcome is exactly what you focused on it was going to be in the first place, but you wasn't really thinking about it. You were too busy living your life. So you declared it at the beginning of the birth of it. But you're not going to think about anything else in between about, as I put it, the death of what's going on now. You just live your life, and then you get to the outcome, which is exactly what you want. But we also know for a fact that when you get into the point of your manifestation happening, you're living it. So it's, a lot of times you don't even notice it until you look back and go, oh, my God, I've been driving the same car. Or this one guy was like this. He was sitting here. His son pulled out the focus board with his house on it. And he just realized at that moment that he'd been living in that house for 5 years, renovating it and doing the whole thing on it. And here's the picture of it. He said it wasn't a picture that he drew or a picture of something that looked like his house. He said it was the exact same house that he wanted. And and he started crying because he just realized that things like those kind of moments just change your life forever. And it's usually a positive thing. It just keeps you wanting to go more and more and more. And I just, and those things just, to me, are just so fascinating. It's, I feel the same way. I've done it myself, too, on certain things. And sure, I get fascinated with a lot of times where I get knocked off the path. But I kind of go back to those moments, too, to kind of bring you back up and say, I've done it once before. Just go do it again and just go live life and just have some fun. And that's the biggest thing, is having fun, enjoying what's going on, and keep saying it. Because people keep... I have a lot of people right now who are saying, okay, well, you keep doing your show. You're not really making a lot of money. I said, yeah, but that's what I love to do. So I'm bringing the vibration up so therefore I can actually have the exact same things I've been focusing on. So I feel like I'm living my life. I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm being who I am.
So right, therefore, exactly.
That's how it's going to happen for everybody else. You know, be yourself. And we were sitting saying this the other day on the show. We were saying that we felt like we were in Aladdin. You know, be yourself. Nothing else. Because maybe the reason you're not getting what you want because you're not being true to yourself. You're working a job because you have to make money, not because you love to do it. And then kind of angry at other people who are doing just that, okay? And I just think it's a reflection to them saying, okay, you can still do that. You just need to make a decision to do so. What are you going to focus on? You're going to focus on the stuff that's going on right now at this minute that you don't like, or are you going to start putting the energy in the right direction, which is going forward? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does.
So you want to do some readings?
Yeah. I just wanted to tell everyone. I was telling Donnie before the show, I've went into my cupboard of goodies, and I've got an Osha Zen deck here.
Ooh.
I also have a Magical Messages of the Fairies deck. I've got an Animal Dreaming deck, and I've also got my trusty Hanson Roberts. So I was going to give people an opportunity to decide, if that's okay with you, Donnie, what deck they wanted me to work from, if they want, you know, like an animal totem reading, or if they want a message from the fairies, or Ocean Zen, which is kind of an abstract deck. It's a very interesting deck. Totally unorthodox and not traditional at all. And then I've got the Hanson Roberts, which is a really cute deck. It's kind of, you know, formulated after the Rider-Waite, but I love the pictures. The artist Mary Hanson Roberts did a beautifully stunning job on it. So let me know. Are you using angel cards? What are you going to be doing?
Well, I actually have healing. What I did was I have a healing with the angels deck and the Archangel deck of Dorian Virtues, and I put them together as one deck. So,
nice!
Yeah, it's a big deck. When I started doing this, I've had this deck about... I keep giving them away. I don't know if you ever had this happen to you where I'm doing readings for people, and all of a sudden a person walks to the door, and my angels say, give those cards to her because it's time for those cards to move on. And I've given this deck away. I've given this deck away probably 10 times, and it still keeps coming back. The opportunities always come up to me, right? I always have it. And I'm just like, and people go, what do you do that for? I used to do this. I don't know if you've ever done this, Amy, but I was sitting there going, I like to affirm things to the universe. So, okay, I believe that the universe is so abundant and so prosperous that I put a $20 bill in an envelope and send it out to a charity or whatever, just any kind of charity, just send it out. And I actually freaked my partner out when I had my first shop in Colorado, where I just did that. It was my last $20 bill. And I sat there and told her, she said that, okay? I said, no, it's not. I have endless amount of money coming to me, so therefore I'm affirming that and say, universe, keep my unlimited income, keep it coming, and here's the $20 to prove it. I'm sending this out. Not because I want something back, but that I believe that this is a prosperous, abundant universe to the point where make sure that we're all the same. You know what I'm saying? It's like, when I sit there and visualize these things, I visualize not just me being prosperous, but everybody across the planet being prosperous and abundant and getting exactly what they want. So we can all have fun together.
Yeah, and you know, the law of attraction is a very simple, I don't know, philosophy, if that's what you want to call it, or universal
right.
rule. I had on the show last night a woman that was a proponent of law of attraction people, and her premise was basically that practitioners of the law of attraction don't really practice what they preach because they're not magnetizing money. And I highly disagree. I think most people that are teaching the law of attraction have everything that they want. They're just not needing more. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So I just started listening to Jerry and Esther Hicks. Esther Hicks, for anyone who doesn't know, she channels a non-physical entity named Abraham and talks about the law of attraction, the law of allowing. It's just some wonderful, wonderful stuff. If anyone's interested.
It is wonderful stuff. You need to check that book out because there's a technique. We were talking about this the other night. I was talking to a friend of mine. I said, there's a technique in there. What you do is you get a checkbook. And what you do is it's an imaginary thing, but what you're trying to do is you're trying to expand your awareness of what you can actually accomplish. So what the technique works is you sit down and you get a checkbook, and what you do is you get your little deposit slips and stuff, and what you do is you deposit $1,000 into your account. So you'll start off with $1,000 the first day, and then you'll add $1,000 to it. So the next day you would deposit $2,000, and what your goal is to spend that money in one day. And so the thing keeps getting bigger and bigger. I noticed when I got to $15,000, I got stumped. I was like, okay, what can I do with $15,000? My angels were like, go buy a car. Because your thinking is, you've always been told that to buy a car, you need to make payments. Well, if you had $15,000, you wouldn't have to, would you? You would just go buy a car.
So wait, how do you get the $15,000?
What you do is you give yourself you start off with $1,000. You deposit $1,000 into your account on the first day, and every day you add $1,000 to.
So you're putting like $2,000 in the second day.
Yeah, you put $2,000 in the second day, and then you spend it all in one day. And then you put $3,000. Like on Monday, you'll put $1,000. On Tuesday, you'll put two, and on three, you'll put $3,000. And you just keep going and going and going. What you're trying to do is you're expanding your brain and your mind, what you can do one day at a time. So you get to these one part. Because I started thinking the same thing. I got to $15,000, and I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, what can I do? And they said, you're thinking too small. Imagine if you're on God's payroll. What could you do with that? So I started thinking. I was like, oh, okay. So I had a friend of mine who lived in Canada, and I was thinking if I was actually going to go visit her, what would I do? I would actually get a package of a flight, hotel rooms, the car, everything. And I looked at these packages. I'm like, $1,500? And they're going, what's the problem? You got $15,000. Write a check out. Go to freaking Canada. And, you know, it's just, and all of a sudden I said, oh, okay, I get it now. And it expanded my thinking on what I could do, the possibilities each day. Because I had to spend everything I had in the same day. But it was so cool because you started thinking on more of the level of what you can do instead of focusing what you couldn't. Because a lot of us have a tendency to do with our paychecks, and we'll sit there and look at things and go, okay, I can't do that, or I can't do that, so I have to pay this. So you're thinking on the lack of first before you get to what you're going to actually pay. So what this teaches you to do is to focus on nothing but what you can do. So it opens up your mind and starts thinking to yourself, what do I really want? And it's a kind of a cool technique. I'm only mad about it. I had a tough time finding blank checks and didn't have a checking account, but you know.
But yeah, I heard a little bit of a different take on it. My astrologer friend Denise D, who I have on the show from time to time, she says, you know, with the new moon, great time to set new intentions. So we write out this, or she taught me how to write out a check to myself every new moon, and there's no dollar amount on it. You just put in it, let me see. I'm going to explain this the right way. Let me grab my check because I want to do this right and not tell you the wrong information. Okay. So what you do is you take a check and you write it out to yourself, you know, paid to the order of in your name, and you date it, you know, the date of the new moon. You write it out that night. You write in the dollar sign box, paid in full. And then on the other line underneath your name, you write paid in full, you know, where the dollars, you just write paid in full. You write, you sign it law of abundance. And in the memo portion, you just put new moon check. And I did this last month, and I wound up getting a check for $2,500 during the last new moon. So this stuff does work. It's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Is that from the book that you were talking about where you had the lady on, what was her name, Rose Tree?
Yeah, Rose Tree. I was trying to figure out if it was her book because I started reading her book. It's called Magnetized Money with Energetic Literacy. I started reading that book the night before, but I just realized last night I also made out this new moon check.
Oh, look at that.
So it could be both or it could be one or the other. I'm not sure. I didn't really read more than 50 pages of the book.
I don't know. I was just sitting there looking at the situation because I actually wanted to go to the gym last night. But for some reason, I was compelled to go to your show. because I actually wanted to take the information, and now I got this in my favorites. Now I have all intentions of getting this book, because I was actually, if you go on the website, she's right. You go in there, and there's some, you can get some previews of the whole thing, and you actually read some things out of the book before you actually purchase the book, and then it just makes you want to get it even more. So it was it was really cool, and plus it's simple to get it because what is it? It's rosetree.com. Or www.
Yeah, it's rose. Yeah, www.rose-rosetree.com. I'm not really on board with all of her beliefs, to be honest with you. The law of attraction and putting down other spiritual practitioners, it's not a very spiritual thing in my book. I don't really agree with that. But I think she does have some good points to offer if you pick up her book, you know.
Yeah, I was having some trouble with the one where she's talking about having an addiction to spirituality. So I was kind of I understand what she's talking about in the sense that some people have a tendency to really get really locked into it, but not really, they're not getting any results from it because all they're doing is they're relying too much on the books and not really doing the work itself. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like the, and I've had a lot of people call me like this that are addicted to psychic readings, but no matter what I tell them to do, they don't do it. They're waiting for me to say something different. You know what I mean?
No, we had that a couple of weeks ago when I have a friend of mine who co-hosts my show on Thursday. Barbara was doing this reading for the lady, and then she come back and she goes, "So then, what should I do? Should I do this first or should I do this first?" I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not trying to cut into the whole thing, but I'm saying what she's saying to you is you need to take back your power and basically take back your life, and whatever you decide to do is okay." It's your life. It's your decision. It's your free will. That's what she's saying to you, to take back your life and do what you want to do. Because what you've been doing is relinquishing it piece by piece to certain people because they keep telling you this is what you should do, or you should do that, you should do that. So she was like, okay, I'm getting it, but what should I do? I'm just going, whatever you want. What do you want to do? It's one of those hard questions to sit down and say, what do you want to do right at this moment? What do you want to do? If you don't want to work that job no more, that's what you don't want to do. You understand that. So now go to the other level and think about what do you want. See, it was a hard question for her to go, what do I want? Well, one thing we know
right.
that you don't want is you don't want that job. So what would you like to work? What would you like to do? I always tell people, sit down, think about what you really love to do, get a pad and pencil, sit down and start writing things on how you can make a business. And I guarantee you might find out exactly what you do want to get to, like the thing that you've been wanting to do your whole life. You just haven't been doing because you never really thought about it as a business. But when you start writing it down, pen and paper, all these ideas are coming to you.
I'm sorry, you're breaking up, Donnie. I can't hear you. You're breaking up.
You heard me? Okay. That sucks. I hear everybody very clearly.
Okay.
Get a pad and a pen. And just start writing down. Just think about the one thing you love to do. Get a pad and pencil. Sit down and start writing ideas. How you can happen. I guarantee you're going in the right direction. So I'm going to do these readings, and Amy says she's going to help too.
definitely.
Yeah,
I put a website up here in your chat room, by the way, Donnie. It's called the Cosmic Ordering Site, and it's free. And basically, you can go there and you click on Submit Your Order page, and you can place your order with the universe as to what you want.
I need to check that out myself. Yeah, that sounds great. And plus, Amy, if you want to put your information in the chat room and just tell everybody how they can get a hold of you for readings and all kind of stuff, feel welcome to do that. Okay.
Oh, thanks so much, Donnie. You're a doll. Thanks.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to go. This one here I've been asking, so it's set. Let me take a deep breath and go. 631. You're on the air. Since the city chart is going around in circles. There we go. Russian roulette. Okay, area code 631. Welcome to the show. You're on the air. And what's your name? And she said, hello. I got your email. You said that you had to go. I hope she's still there. Sometimes people are listening so intensely to the show, they don't realize I'm actually talking to them. And maybe I should say
that. Sometimes they're folding clothes or they're doing something while they're listening, waiting.
Yeah, area code 631. You're on the air. You're on the show. Love to hear your voice. Hello. I actually pushed her to the forefront, so she was telling me in an email, or IM, and she said she had to. She couldn't stay very long. And, okay, if you open up, Eric, 6-3-1. Don't care. It sounds like we're in a tunnel, doesn't it? Okay. I'm not gonna take her off. I'm gonna just put her back on mute, and then if she messages.
You're still breaking up. I know we've got people in the chat room here saying you're still breaking up. So you might want to just try and if your cord is tangled or anything's going on with that.
Okay,
I don't know what's going on. You sound better
now,
though.
I just kind of a while. All right, here we go. I'm gonna try another one. Okay, we'll just go into another one. She messaged me, I'll go back to her. All right, let's go to 617 area codes. You're on the air, you're on the show. Welcome, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Sylvia. How are you?
Sylvia, how you doing?
Wonderful.
We're doing great.
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking. I just was wondering if you could take a look at Michael for me, and you could actually see the outcome and what's going to happen between us.
Michael?
Mm-hmm.
Michael, what a nice guy. Kinda. Amy? Yeah, Sylvia.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm here.
Yeah, I want a guy's perspective, Donnie, if you could tell me, like, what you see in regards to this.
Okay. You're
coming in and out. You're breaking up.
I'm breaking up. I work for NASA. I'm coming back in the atmosphere. I'm breaking up. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. Can you hear me now?
Okay. I can hear you. Fantastic. I was just asking Amy if she picks anything up, too, as we're doing, you know, doing readings and stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, I get a 2-for-1. Wonderful.
Oh, I thought I was going to make sure because I was breaking up. I was saying Amy's here, too.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay. And so this Michael guy, I keep getting a lot of things with him back and forth. Almost like the ideal back and forth decisions you guys are trying to make a decision. Amy?
I didn't hear any of what you said, honey. You're still breaking up.
Oh, shoot, man. Okay. Let's try this. I have lost my... Oh, this is just not good. What the heck
happened?
That's
better. That's better. Now we can hear you.
Okay. Sylvia, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. With the situation of your relationship... I want to say, could you give me a idea back?
Oh, no. You're breaking up again.
I haven't even moved. Oh, okay.
You're a moving force, Donnie. That's what it is.
It's that moving energy, isn't it?
That's perfect if you can stay right where you are right now, Donnie. We can hear you now.
I feel like a statue. I was sitting with the situation in hand. Can anybody hear me now? Because I haven't moved. I'm just
moving.
Yeah.
My...
God, I'm scared to death to move.
I feel like a Verizon commercial, for goodness sake.
Yes. Sylvia, this guy that you got, this Michael, is it Michael or Mikey?
It's Michael.
Okay, does anybody ever call him Mikey?
No.
You sure? I keep getting a grandma impression here. Well, I shouldn't say impression. I'm not impersonating anybody.
No.
I'm saying I get an impression that his grandmother's passed away. I get on the father's side. I keep getting that she used to call him Mikey.
Okay.
And the situation is, it seems like he has a tendency to falter in certain situations of following through. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You get angry with this back and forth thing is what I was picking up on.
Okay.
Okay. Is that true?
Well, it depends on what you mean by the back and forth thing.
Well, when I say back and forth, he has a tendency to procrastinate on decisions, so he goes back and forth.
Okay.
Okay, with the situation with you and him, how would you describe that?
In regards to our relationship?
Yes.
No. He doesn't go back and forth in regards to our relationship.
Well, describe the relationship to me.
Well, I just want to know, want to know if it's going to end or if it's going to continue or what's he going to do in regards to the whole relationship.
Because when I sit there and say he has a tendency to go back and forth, he might not verbally or physically do those things, but in his mind it's exactly what he's doing. Because the way you're picking it up
uh-huh.
is and I listen to your voice.
Well, he's my husband. I want a divorce. Is he going to leave?
Okay, I understand that point. I'm just going with the way what the information comes to me very quickly.
Okay.
And sometimes the answer that you're looking for, I have to go through what they tell me to get that answer
okay.
for you. Okay, because when you sit here and look at the situation of what I'm exactly saying is might play itself out more strongly
mm-hmm.
in the process of going through the divorce, where he's going to get emotionally and really distraught with the whole thing, where he might go back and forth. One day he'll say this is okay, next day he won't. It's something
well,
to look forward
to. Well, I
asked
him to leave, Donnie, and he told me he's not leaving.
That's part of it right there.
Yeah, and
tomorrow he
I
might walk
out. Know. I'm trying to, like, not make chaos in my home. Obviously, I have two kids. And
yes.
I just, is it going to be chaos, I guess?
Okay, no problem. I'm going to tell you right now is what I've gone through, okay? And this is the procrastination of decision-making, okay? I had a girl in my freaking house, and she never told me and stuff like that. What I should have followed through, I should have said, okay, go and do that.
Donnie, you're moving again. You're moving. You got to
You have to be a
statue.
Okay. I was just sitting there talking. I was sitting there pecking my fingers for a second. Gosh.
Don't peck.
I got you. What I'm saying, okay, can you hear me now?
You're breaking up.
I'm not doing nothing. Okay.
Okay, now I can hear you.
Okay, I put my foot on the freaking wall. Okay, that was weird. Okay, the story goes like this. I had this girl in my house. I took her to leave. She wouldn't do it. If I would have made the decision, which I started to do, I told her son to get the phone. I'm going to call the police because I felt like I needed to show her that the idea of her decision and what she thought she could do, she needed to be proven that she can't do that. Which is what she was doing.
Right.
And violence and physical. And it's the right decision. It's the right. Okay, what happened now?
Now you're good. Now you're good.
Okay. And what the situation was, I didn't follow through. I changed my mind and I felt like, okay, I can't do this. I got to be a nice person. So I didn't do that. But if I would have followed through with that one decision, the rest that followed would never have happened. So by my decision, all those things happened to me. She actually beat me to the ground. And I didn't think she would ever do that. I never saw that. But see, the one thing my angels brought to my attention was I did see it. But
okay.
I wasn't willing to look at it and say, okay, this is what's going to happen. Or I was trying to, she has kids. I don't want them to think she's a mean person. When actually she was. Okay? So you have to follow through with things that when they're presented to you, and that first thing that pops in your head, he has to go, then you have to follow through with that whole thing. That's the whole point of, you know, like I said before, I can do readings for you and sit here and say, well, this is what you need to do, but you need to follow through everything that happens, everything that crosses your path. Nothing happens by chance. Everything happens for a reason. And when it's crossing your path. Yes, I'm just saying, a lot of us have a tendency not to follow through with those things. So.
Right.
I'm just saying, this situation,
actually
I feel like, I'm sorry, sweetie. Go ahead.
No worries. I wrote a letter to him, actually, and I served it upon him that he has until the end of January to leave the house, or else further action will be taken in regards to it. So I am going through my actions, but I just don't want the chaos because I do have two kids with him, and I just don't want my children suffering during the
okay.
I just want it to be ending amicably where he will be leaving the home. And I guess my bottom line is, what is the outcome going to be? Do I have to boot the bum out, or is it going to be that he is going to leave of his own accord?
Okay, I'll put you like this. If you told him by January 31st, well, what was it?
At the end of January, I told him he had to leave. It was in written format. He's still not gone. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Until the 15th, you know, my kids are going to go on vacation, so it's going to be okay. At least they'll have some peace. I just want to know if he's going to be leaving amicably or if it's just going to be absolute chaos where I'm going to have to involve other people in order to get him out of my home.
Just as long as you don't involve getting him, it'll be okay. I'm just saying, with the situation, since you didn't follow through with your D-Day there, that's why he's not leaving. I don't see him having any intentions of leaving because he doesn't feel like he has to, because you didn't follow through. You didn't follow through with the action, so therefore he's just thinking, well, she's just saying this, and what you need to do is you need to change the whole thing and say, okay, I would give him by the end of the week, and so if he doesn't, because in this situation, since you let the due date come by. It's the ideal that you have to reestablish that you do mean what you're saying. Because right now he's just kind of like, hell, whatever. So what I'm saying is, make a date. This is it, and follow through with it, because I just don't see how you can actually really.
Oh, my follow through is no problem. It's just.
I'm just saying the chaos that you're talking about is going to happen one way or the other. I just don't see how you can avoid the chaos. If you would have put your foot down and followed through on the January 31st one, you could have avoided the chaos.
Okay.
But since we're here now, just look at the situation like this. You're going to have to deal with a little chaos, but that's the only way you're ever going to get peace of mind is follow through, because you know for a fact that you're kind of beating yourself up too because you never follow through.
Sure.
So I'm just saying, Amy, what would you pick up on this?
Well, the first thing in asking about this man, Michael, I asked who he was, and I've got some pretty adverse things to say. Not to judge your husband, Sylvia, but he looks like a sneak, a liar, and a snake. He is using the tactic of avoidance to not deal with your threats. He feels they're threats. But he's all about himself. He's very selfish. So I just see this situation between the two of you continuing. And unfortunately, I don't like to cast blame here, but he looks like to me the one with the problems. And unfortunately, his problems are going to become your problems. And I don't see him doing anything to get out of the situation. He's more waiting and just selfishly hanging in there. I think eventually he'll leave, but I think he's kicking and screaming the whole way. He does not want to leave.
No. I'm entitled. It's like a sense of entitlement. You're so very right in regards to that. So you see me bringing somebody else in order to kick the bum up.
Well, what do you play on a hitman here or something?
No, if you consider my father the hitman, I guess I do. But no, it's like my dad actually will be probably coming in and making him, forcing the move.
Okay.
He's not a hitman.
I don't care how you back it up.
What do you take me for, Donnie?
No, I'm just saying, some people have a tendency to be drastic. I'm just saying, that seems like a feasible thing to do, so go ahead and follow through with it. I'm just saying, the one thing I pick up the most here is you've got to follow through with it. And when I was talking about before about him going back and forth, I still feel, I do believe that all the things that Amy said is true. I just feel like that's part of the back and forth. He knows this would be better for everybody if you did this, but the selfish part says, no, I'm not going nowhere. So you see the back and forth that I was picking up on? He knows the best.
I understand, but where the sneaky part is, where Amy picked up also correctly, is he's manipulating the children right now to make me be put forward as I'm the bad person because Mommy doesn't want Daddy in the house anymore. But he's not looking at the whole picture where, you know what, we do have two children and it should be ending on a friendlier basis because we're going to have to be dealing with each other on an everyday basis because we do have two children together.
This is the thing that I see, and a lot of people are chiming in the chat room that are talking about the blame game and who's to blame here. And the only reason I say your husband is to blame here with regards to this situation is when you ask somebody to leave, when you say we've been married how many years have you been married?
16 years.
16 years. We've been married 16 years. I get there's a lot of conflict in this situation. It's not healthy for the children.
No.
You've already asked him to leave, and he is not respecting that. That's where I have a problem with this man.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Instead of,
it's not
you know,
that he's
doing...
a bad person. He's not a bad person, but together we're not good together anymore, and I've come to that realization. And I don't cast upon him that he's an evil person. I don't. But together we're just not any good anymore. And, you know, unfortunately that's how the world turns. And when you come to that realization, finally you have to say, okay, you either need to do something about it or you need to sever the ties. And unfortunately, in this case scenario, there's nothing more we can do because we've tried every aspect of it. We've tried to make the relationship work. It didn't work, and it's not working.
Right. The only thing I can say in regards to, because I know a lot of people in here are saying that both of you are to blame, the only thing I can say where I can see that you are to blame is not in following through and taking the action that Donnie said. If he's going to be this way and this is the way he's going to be, then balls in your court as to what happens from here on out. You know?
Wow.
And you're strong. You're very strong. You're very intelligent. You're very wise. You know what you need to do.
And the situation... I just want to say one thing, because I was actually basically directed to get some cards here, because my cards came up like this. First card was dreams, spiritual growth. You need to focus. Forget this all. It's like wiping the slate clean and say, okay, we don't care what he's like, what he's not like. They're saying you need to focus on what your dreams are. That's where the spiritual growth is. It's also where the power is. Your children are the most important things in the world. That's why he needs to go. They also say you need to nurture yourself, too, because it talks about nurturing your own inner child as well and pulling together. And I keep getting two children. I also get playfulness. You've been so serious and everything like this. The idea with your children and nurturing, you need to go. I don't care if there's 10 feet of snow at the park, dig a hole, go to the park. That's what's coming to me. And it's talking about the final card of my cards was like, sets the tone for everything, was take back your power. It's the idea of use your God-given powers and intention to manifest blessings in your life. And the idea what you're focusing on right now is, I hear all the things that you're saying that, you know, it's not working, we tried this and this and this. You're right, you tried all those things. So therefore, to this point, 2 seconds ago, everything yesterday is gone. It's history, it's kaput. So I want you to start focusing. And the idea, the only way you can take back your life right at this moment is to do just that. Let everything go and start focusing on what kind of future you want for you and your kids, almost to the point where he doesn't exist anymore. Seriously. Because if you put any energy into him or anything that could have happened, or what, you know, he's going to just take that and take it for what it is. Because I really honestly feel like, yeah, he's a scumbag in some ways, but I'm sitting there looking at the situation and saying, hey, he knows the truth as just like everybody else does. He just refuses to go that thing, because the first thing I saw was the ideal of manipulating your kids is the ideal. He's scared of the unknown too as well. So he's using all tactics to stay right exactly where he's at. So we just want to forget about that whole thing and go, Sylvia needs to take back her power. She needs to be playful. You need to start living your life again, because you've kind of like put it on hold because you're trying to figure out what's going to happen here. You stopped and you thought about it and you're analyzing and everything like that. And it's like, take a deep breath and just kind of like, ooh, just don't do that anymore. Because the one thing that you said before, I like the question when you finally come to the point and say, okay, I'm going to get a divorce. So what's he going to do? You know? Exactly. Exactly. What's he going to do? He's going to give you problems. So you're going to have to. The thing that came to me was, if you can deal with like a couple of months of chaos and follow through with what you got to do to get to where you're going to have the unconditional loving situation and freedom, that's what you're going to have to go through. But you're going to definitely see it as one of the best choices you ever met. And you're going to realize that chaos, something you could have avoided, but don't beat yourself up about it. Just realize you did it. And then next time when you're in a situation, make the decision. Because what I always tell people, when the decision comes to you right at that minute, that's the minute you're supposed to make the decision.
True.
And then all this stuff don't happen. So we're not going to beat up on you, I swear. I'm just saying, take your power back and please focus on, because right now, everything's happening right this moment is a manifestation of how you used to think. So just change your thinking.
Of course. Well, thank you so very much, both of you.
Yeah, there's one more thing they're telling me here. You look a little apprehensive of what's to come with regards to your situation, but they're saying you really just need to drop this rock called Michael and start looking to the future and start being in awe of your life and kind of have this clean slate type of whimsical approach, like Donnie said, in a way, play. You know what I mean? Don't look at this as, oh, my God, this is not going to be good, because you'll just manifest exactly that which you don't want. So,
well, we basically
almost
are living separate lives right now. We are living separate lives. We go on vacations by ourselves. We do everything by ourselves. It's just that he's living in my home like a tenant right now. And
right.
It's just like it's time to end this. And
conviction time.
Exactly. And yeah, he's been evicted. I appreciate everything. Thank you so very much.
Okay.
Oh, thank you for calling, Sylvia. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh.
Have a good one. Bye.
Okay, guys. No problem. Hey, thank you, Sylvia. It's great having you here. And I appreciate the call. I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little distracted here because my switchboard just went to all mics. There's nobody on and nobody off, and I can't really do anything. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I guess maybe I should try to refresh this thing. I've never had that happen before where I can't do anything. All right. Still, there we go. It just went. It kind of faded out, and all you could see was mics. And every time I tried to click on a mic, nothing would come up. You there, Amy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Because I was starting to look at the situation where you said I was fading out. Well, when you started talking, the same thing started happening to your mic, too, as well. So it's probably...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I think it's Skype in itself, because when we've been having all this cold weather, I've had more problems since the weather is really cold in this area for some reason. I don't know why, but I've been having that problem. And now I'm... Uh-oh. And it keeps going back and forth. All right, let's try this. Area code 724. You're
Hi.
On the air. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing good, and you're sounding pretty good. You were pretty broken up there for a while, but you're sounding good. So whatever you're doing, don't change.
Okay. Okay,
well,
it's a tele order. I'm trying to deal with it.
I know. It's hard.
Angels,
I know.
Please help us out here. We really need some assistance with clearing all this up. Thank you very much. And what's your name?
My name's Carol.
So how are you? And say hi to Amy, too.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Carol. I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know what? I'm trying to be as good as I can be. How's that? For an answer.
That's good.
That's all you're thinking, right?
Well, I mean, you know, day by day, step by step, I guess that's what you got to do.
I don't know. People say the same thing to me, too. They'd be good. And I was like, what's the fun in that? And so, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't catch you off.
That's all right, honey. Listen, can you tell me about my relationship? That'll help me, maybe, somewhat.
Sure I can, but I don't know if I want to.
Okay, well, that's up to you. Yes, we will.
First of all,
okay, Carol, can we get your partner's name?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. I was going to say what?
His name's Dan. Dan.
His name is Dan.
Ian?
Yeah, D-A-N. Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Yeah.
You know, I keep getting this impression that Dan is not a man because he can't even stand, and that's the way it came to me. It's almost like
I'm sorry. I didn't know what you said, honey. I'm sorry.
Oh, I swear. They want me to repeat that. Okay, here we go. They said Stan is not a man because he can't stand.
Stan is not a man because he can't stand.
And they're saying, you okay. Understand what that means.
No, but I don't. So that's not helping me at all.
They're trying to get you to... They're saying they want you to relax. They want you to think about it. Now, you're asking about this relationship between you and Dan, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And you seem like you're having some issues because you don't know what direction to go in, correct?
Of course.
I'm just saying, just clarifying it for you. And then we sit there and look at the situation of Dan not being a man, which means he's not standing up and being what you think he should be, when you met him.
Well, I never looked at it like that.
Well, in your perception of what a man is, when a person doesn't follow through, you kind of look at them less. Is that true?
Well, yeah, I do. But you know what? I tell you what I do have a habit of doing is I try to be very understanding with everybody. It doesn't matter with who it is. You know, that's just part of who I am. I try to be very understanding and listen to what they're saying. So I can look from their perspective on what's really going on. Because, you know, you can't judge what somebody else does or thinks or whatever they do by yourself. If you do that, I mean, that's not very good, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, but you have to understand one thing here, too. In the process of, because a lot of people get caught up in this judgment thing, there is a difference between judging and calling it what it is, you know, telling the truth. So when a person presents themselves in a certain way, I can understand what you're saying, looking at it from their point of view, but I keep getting this impression you keep forgetting about your point of view in the process.
Well, I'll tell you something. Yeah,
go ahead.
Because you know what? Throughout my life, I've always been a self-sacrificer, so you're probably correct. That's not a new and upcoming event with me.
I'm just saying put blame where blame belongs, and it's okay to sit there and say, okay, you are this because that's how he presented himself. And I'm just saying with the situation, I keep getting from my angels that this is going to go on. then it's not something that should end. Okay, it's just the ideal of actually being honest with oneself. Also, I get the impression you should also learn from the reflection. As long as you're both willing to learn from the reflection, it will correct some things, but it'll also bring you closer together. And I feel like in some ways, you're looking at both. You're looking at his side all the time, and you have a tendency. Yeah. And I self-sacrificing. I get the impression you should stop sacrificing and also get what you want as well.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm 50 years old. You know, I've had my share of crap in this world, I guess, you know. And my life hasn't been easy. And, you know, throughout life, I have been, you know, I've always put other people's needs in front of my own. And I'm trying really hard to stand in my own ground, because it's not that I'm a weak person by far. I can take the thing and you know, straighten things out usually pretty well if I have to. But I try to be very understanding, you know, and which I don't know if it's good or bad, but it's just the way I am.
I understand completely. I was just saying with the situation when I was picking up the angels, I was saying it's like the idea of learning from this thing, but also learning about oneself. And you're learning a lot of things about yourself. And you're take the 50 years off the thing, because I'm close to that age too, and I'm still learning and constantly growing.
Well, you're going to learn till the day you die. I'm going to tell you something. That's the truth. You are going to learn till the day you die.
Yes.
And I know that, and you know that, and that's
yes.
Factual.
I'm just saying that sometimes when we put the age thing on top of it, it's kind of a limitation. And I'm just, you know, just trying to expand here on this kind of situation. I feel like the situation between you and Dan is going to be... I feel like there's a lot of strong feelings here, and I keep getting strong feelings. I get that you do love this man. I just feel like in some ways you should also call him on a lot of things too and put him in his place. That's the way it comes to me. How do you feel about this, Amy?
I've had a lot of time to sit here and kind of, I took all of my decks that I have, and I've got like four readings in one here for you, because I can hear it in your voice. You're just so tired. Okay, first thing they're saying, when I ask about Dan and I ask my animal totem, show me who this man is, he comes up as the owl, and the owl is all about deception. So there's some deception. It could be self-deception, or it could be deception to you. So I kind of went on to my next deck, and I said, okay, what is his position on all of this? Okay, so they're showing me he's coming from a place of being a bit... Donnie, are you moving around? I hear all this background noise.
I'm sorry. I was shuffling my cards.
He's trying to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's working on it.
Okay, yeah, I didn't know what was going on. I thought it maybe was 2012 and the world was ending. Okay.
Oh, no.
Don't believe.
I don't believe that for a minute either.
This guy Dan, okay, he's being very cautious and hesitant. I get a lot of dragging his feet. He feels like the two of you are very different, almost like polar opposites. You're going one way, and he's going another, and he says, I have a decision to make here, and I'm in the middle of reassessing this decision. So when I ask him, okay, what's your problem? He's saying the problem is, I'm not being consistent. He's saying the problem is there's been a stalemate, or like a suspended animation period where nothing's really happening here. He's not doing anything. He's saying, you know, she is very intelligent and very forthright and honest, sometimes too much so, because it hurts my feelings. He's basically telling me sometimes she can be a real B-I-T-C-H. Sometimes the way that she speaks to me, I can't handle it. It overwhelms me because she's trying to kind of pin me down to, hey, why all the frustration here? Hey, what the heck is going on? And he's sitting here saying, I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed out, I don't know what to do. I keep going back and forth in my own mind about what to do about her. I have to make a decision, but I don't really know quite what to do because she's so honest. And, you know, honey, I don't see you're malicious with your honesty. You're very upfront, you know. You're very to the point. You know, you call a spade, it is what it is. So he has a little bit of a problem dealing with your personality.
Okay.
that's a little bit of a problem here. Now, when I ask what you should do with regards to this situation, they're saying, you should end this because this guy, basically, his pants are on fire, and he's not ready to settle in and sit down into a you know, like a nice, warm, mutually exclusive, loving relationship. Not that it's about other people. They're just saying he's so inconsistent and his energy is so scattered, he can't get himself together to apply himself to this situation. It's causing a lot of tension and a lot of frustration in you. So when I ask the fairies, okay, what does she need to do? They're saying that you need to get some exercise. You need to burn off this tension. They're saying this would be very good for you with the warm weather coming to kind of release all this pent-up frustration and tension that's within you as a result of this situation. So I, that's what I'm getting between me and the four corners here. He's just saying that basically the bottom line is he's not ready. He can't seem to get his energy consistent enough and stable enough to apply himself to the consistency. So until he does that or you make a decision, this is a stalemate or a deadlock.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was saying when they were talking about Dan not being a man, which means he's playing the victim here when he should be.
Wow.
In some ways, listening, because I got the teaching and learning thing, which means that this relationship can be a teaching and learning experience if you're willing to actually go back and forth and say, okay, you're the teacher for a while, learn, and then it reverses back and forth. And we all know relationships take on many roles, and he's just he's not willing to take on any kind of role. So therefore, it says, what it says. There's a blessing in the ideal being very clear about what you really want and being understanding what that means. Because like one thing I will sit here and say, and I'm not saying I don't agree with Amy, it is a situation that can be difficult, but they're just saying being very clear about what you want, which means when you come up to the conclusion of what that is, that's going to be a hard decision to make because of how you feel.
Right.
They also want you to make the decision because that's what you need to do. Go ahead. Who wants to go first? Amy, go ahead.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, you know, I don't really get the victimness as much as I get with him, this constant motion he's in, almost like I can't sit still, almost like someone with ADD. Like I can't seem to focus my mind to actually applying myself. I get there's a lot of dreamy-eyed optimism and hopes, but when it comes to, okay, so what's the action behind that? I don't see a lot of action here, and that's the problem. So her decision is going to be, I think, a little bit easier for her because they're telling me she's quite sharp, she's quite intellectual. She is able to separate herself from her heart and look at something objectively. And they're saying basically the question for her is she going to hang in here and learn how to accept the inconsistent behavior, or is she going to want more for herself and move forward past this man and say, hey, if you can catch up at some point, give me a call. If not, this isn't enough for me because I just deserve more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Okay. You know, and that's very good advice.
Yeah, and I really think for some reason they keep bringing up like the outdoors with you and exercise and the summertime and being out and about. That will really help you with this situation in some respect. I know it doesn't seem like it's connected, but I just get like an outlet needs to be in place for you, and that is your outlet, they're saying. That's a needed outlet.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and you know, and it probably will help me because, you know, the winter is just horrendous. You know, you're going to work, you're coming home, you're just, you know, it's dreary.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrible to say, but it's just stinking cold. You can't go out and do anything unless you want to freeze to
death. And then we get all spun up in our minds sitting inside thinking about all of these things, you know?
Well, you have a habit of overthinking, and that's why I thought, well, you know what? I'm not going to overthink. I'm going to get on that phone, and I'm going to call, and I'm going to see what they tell me. Because, you know, everybody does that. I do believe it. They just go over and over and over stuff in your mind, which gets you nowhere. You're just, you know, running in circles. Doesn't help a thing.
Mm-hmm.
No.
So that's why I call you.
Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate the call.
Yeah,
and
you
I would
do.
All
what did you, okay? First of all, before you go, what did you say your first name was? For some
it's
reason,
Carol.
Carol. Okay, Carol.
Yeah.
All I was gonna say was the idea of following through. Really, think about. I got the card here where you're, it talks about you're very gifted, and there's a lot more of gifts coming to you. I just feel like in some ways with the situation where it needs to be cleared up is because of those are being blocked right now.
They're being blocked?
Yeah. I feel like there's gifts coming into your life right now. I also feel like you're a very gifted person too, is very intuitive. You have your own abilities and you don't use them as much as you do. Well, let's put it this way. You use them, but you have a tendency to doubt yourself in situations like this.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm listening to you, but I want to tell you something.
Okay.
This is the deal. I can see right through what is happening to somebody else.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But as far as myself,
mm-hmm.
I've got my blinders on. I know that may not make sense.
Makes perfect sense.
No, it does.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
You know, people will tell you all this garbage, you know, and I can go right around the garbage and go straight to the heart of the matter. And I don't know why I've always been able to do that.
Are you an air sign, honey? Because that's the way you come up, very analytically gifted, very talented at weeding through thought. Like, you live in your mind. You know what I mean? Like, you come up like an air sign. I don't know if you have strong air influence or if you're an air sign, but you're very, very intellectual, they're saying.
I'm a Libra. That's what all I know is I'm a Libra. So, no,
you're
I'm not
an air
really
sign.
An air
okay,
sign.
You are an air sign.
Oh, I am. I don't know what I am. I don't know enough about astrology. I don't know enough. And I have thought before about, you know, trying to study this stuff. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you work as much as I work, it's not so easy to do, you know. But I have thought about checking into it. Just for, not even for myself, but for other people. You know, you try to help other people. That's what you're supposed to do in this life.
Absolutely.
You know, and there's so many self-centered people. They're just, you know, they're looking out for them and not anybody else, and nothing ever comes to them because,
mm-hmm.
And that's the truth, what I'm telling you. But anyway.
Well, Carol, I understand that too, but I also understand when I do readings for people and stuff like that, I learn so much about myself too as well. I'm just saying, be open-minded about that too as well, okay?
I will, and I called you, and I'm glad, because I've been listening to you, and you got a great show going here.
Thank you.
I wish you all the best, both of you. You know, I want you
to... Oh,
thank you.
I want to tell you, too, there's a very gifted astrologer in our chat room here tonight. His name is Dionysus C. You know, definitely private message him if you can get to the chat. He said he'd love to look at your chart. So he's a wealth of information on astrology, and being that you're an air sign, it might help you understand how you process information just a little bit better.
Okay.
You know, it might help. He's helped me immensely, so I definitely recommend him.
Oh, great. All right. Well, thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome.
And I'll be maybe talking to you again some other time, okay?
Oh, no problem. Thank you for calling. It was a pleasure. You have a good night.
Take care, Carol. Bye-bye.
Oh, I hate when this thing jumps like that. If I cut you off, please call back. I clicked and then it jumped, and next thing I had to kick somebody else off. I'm like, God, I'm sorry about that. Okay, this next area code, I know this one very well, and I'm really focusing on being there really soon. This is 719. This is Colorado. Welcome to the show. How are you? What's your name?
Hi, it's Pam.
Pam, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, say hi to Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Pam.
What's happening? I'm doing well. Thank you.
So, Pam, you're calling in. You have a couple questions for us?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to get something general. That's all.
Okay. You want something general?
Yeah.
Okay. You want something general?
Okay. Well, yeah, just, you know, you know me. I've been working hard at, you know, seeing how that's going for me.
Yeah. Geez, you threw me off for a minute. Because I keep thinking about someone hitting a fire hydrant close to where you live at. So.
Yeah, really? Okay. Yeah, it could be. It's snowing all day here.
Yeah, because I got this yellow fire hydrant, and I see someone slamming into it. So that's pretty general. So
yeah, that's kind of got one in front of my house, so I don't even want to go look. Okay.
Okay, no problem. Just saying, if someone slams into it in the next couple of days, you heard it here first.
great.
But
no.
I've worked with you a lot, Pam. So what do you really want to do right now? Is I want to see what Amy has in for this for you. Because I have to duck out for a minute and get some water because I really, for some reason, I got this migraine is just really kicking in right now. So I want to get some water because that's going to help. So just excuse me for 2 minutes, and Amy, tell Pam what you see. I'll be right back.
Okay.
I promise.
Okay. All right. Okay, the first thing, Pam, that I'm seeing about you is that you're spending a lot of time as of recent in your own head, introspectively contemplating your direction. And this has something to do with either a course in learning or learning about something. So there's this want or need to learn. Now, the problem with this is, they're saying, is that you're a little bit afraid of doing this or pursuing this because of financial reasons. That's the first thing that comes up here to me. So I don't know if any of that makes sense to you, but that's what they're seeing. The question and contemplation is, what is the right thing to do? Because you are a very good-hearted person, and you do worry about what the right thing is to do. You think about other people when you make decisions, and you really try to be in control of yourself and your wants and your desires. And to let that superego, as I'm talking a little bit in Freudian psychology, I don't know how familiar you are with the id, the ego, and the superego, but there's a real drive in you for your superego, the part of us that wants to do what is morally right, not only for ourselves, but for other people, and the id, you know, the child part of us that wants to play and wants to do and doesn't care about consequence, they just want to do what they want to do. So they're saying that's kind of the struggle for you right now is, you know, what do I need to do it right? How can I do it right? And that's the first thing that comes up here. So I don't know if you want to comment on that, but that's the first thing I get.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I work hard and I go to school. And, yes, I've been really dealing a lot with my angel cards and trying to do that. I gave my first reading about a week ago, and it went really well, but I still don't have a lot of confidence in it, so.
I see. Were you thinking about taking some kind of course in learning or learning more about it, whether it's purchasing books or taking an online course or what it is? Because there's some financial concern here in going forward with that.
I don't know about that. I've been taking workshops through a meetup group that is here in Colorado, and I've been going to a lot of things and learning a lot.
Oh, that's great.
So
financially you're not restricted in any way from doing any more of that?
Well, not really. I don't know. I mean, I'm a single mom and whatnot, but you know, I try to keep on my budget. So
Right.
Yeah. It could be financial. I've been focusing on some of that and putting a lot of that in my God box. So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
You're back,
sorry,
Donnie.
Okay. Yeah,
yeah,
sorry, guys. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The thing that they're actually bringing you to, they're saying she's living in her mind, weighing out all of her options. There's a bit of confusion over options here. They're saying you really need to just have an emotional rebirth and follow your heart with regards to decision making. That's part of a little bit of a problem here I'm seeing.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I live in my head.
Confusion over options. Almost like daydreaming, fantasizing. I could do this, I could do this, I could do that, maybe I could do this. And it's more, they're saying, instead of getting caught up in all the options, to follow your emotions, to follow your heart, to follow your inner guidance and intuition through your emotions.
Yeah.
But, you know, general readings give you general answers, Pam. If there's something that you really want to know, ask me, and I'll look at it for you.
Really? What?
No.
Okay.
It was just the way, I'm sorry, Pam, it was just the way she said that, because I've actually said that exact same phrase myself to everybody. General readings actually give you general answers, and I want to be specific as possible.
Okay, well then, how about my work situation?
Oh.
Okay. what's going to happen with it, or what is it now, or?
Yeah, I mean, I know what it is now, and I'm wanting to, you know, get a promotion and maybe move on to another place. Hopefully, some of my college work has helped me, and I'm just hoping that that I can move on. That's what I want to do.
You want to
okay.
move?
I want a promotion. I'm stuck where I'm at, and I want to move on. I want to start moving.
I know, but the one thing I get about promotion is going somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, moving up is the ideal of coming into your own. It's like who you are. You have a lot of knowledge that's not really appreciated where you work at.
Yep.
And I just feel like you could take that, and I think we've talked about this before, about you starting your own business.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you actually put some energy into exactly what you want to do? Because you were telling me some things that you really love to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that's where she's getting the fear from. You know, I could do this and I could do that, but, you know.
Yeah, because it's not like an insult of saying you're living in your head. We all live in our head from time to time when we go over things, reevaluate, and that kind of thing. It's when we...
Yeah.
Ouch.
Huh?
I'm sorry, guys.
No, I was just agreeing with you. You know, it's all, what I get is like a daydream landscape where I'm contemplating
sorry.
Seven
Ooh.
Different directions or seven different options that I could take, and... You know, sometimes we get confused and saying, okay, well, if I take option number one, here's the upside, here's the downside. If I take option number two, this upside's a little bit better than option number one, but option number two has a larger downside. Well, if I take option number three, then I'm going to have to do A, B, and C before I can even get to that if I do option number four. Yeah, that's kind of the thing I'm seeing here. And when I look at her career and promotion, I'm just seeing that there is a need for learning here, and that learning is coming back up around here against her career, because when I can see, it's almost like I don't know what to do. I know I need to learn more. My energy's scattered because I don't know what to do. I see like a brick wall in your way, actually, because what they're showing me here is you operating with some limitation. It's almost like a glass ceiling, like I can only get so far. And I think that's kind of why you're in the stalemate that you're in right now with regards to career, because they're saying, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to have to learn something, or I'm going to have to maybe go back to school. There's something here with learning that's going to be necessary in order for you to get to promotion, to get there, to really make some kind of large jump or leap.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
I don't know if you're thinking about going back to school, but that's what the reading started out talking about thinking about learning.
I have about a year and a half left until I get my my bachelor's. Yeah. So.
Okay. Are you actively in school right now, or are you? Are you? On
yes, I am. I am actively in school right now.
Awesome. Okay.
The only thing I was going to say was when I pick up on it, I do agree with the learning part, but I think it's also learning different ways to deal with things, on what you can and cannot do, what you're capable of doing, and stepping out into the unknown. School is, in some ways, schooling is very familiar to you. Your job is very familiar to you. I just see that the part and the decision of walking and taking the next step is into a very unknown area for you. And when knowledge comes to me, it's the ideal of trying to come up with the knowledge where it's comfortable for you to make that decision, which is going to be walking away from things that you're so familiar with.
Absolutely.
And the
I'm
reason
so
I
familiar.
Jumped a while ago, guys, because I got a surge of energy that flashed through my freaking mic in my headset that went through my head. It's like a lightning bolt just snapped at the time that Amy said what she said. I'm like, oh, that's why I jumped. I wasn't disagreeing with anybody on anything. It was like that came through just boom. I mean, it was like getting a lot of static all at one time. And I was like, I already have a migraine going on, so that was not too good. I'm just having a thing with, I don't drink a lot of water when I should, and I know that. So I'm not going to blame anybody but myself for this one. I'm just saying with the situation, that's what came to me very strongly, learning more knowledge on, because what it came to me was, it was like this with me. When we were talking about earlier in the show, we were talking about the checkbook thing. I had to learn a different way to approach things instead of what I was taught. We're all taught certain things as we're growing up, and things have a tendency to stick with us, good or bad, that have a tendency to affect our outcome and our decision-making. And when you come to certain parts in your life, you have to come up with a different way of looking at things. And when I say acquire knowledge, it's just the idea of looking at, I know for a fact there's a guy I used to work with when I was in Maryland. This guy had an eighth grade education. So what he did was he surrounded himself with millionaires and people that were very high in education and learned from them. He didn't feel like he had to go to school because he felt like he was a very talented person, and he was also very intelligent. So therefore, he surrounded himself with people of that kind of nature, and he learned from them on how to make different decisions and how to take risks in certain things. And he started realizing the risks that he was taking were not risk at all. They were actually the answer and the direction to go in. So that's what I'm saying with you.
Well, the biggest thing I see – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I am so busy. I mean, I've got so much stuff going on there that I can't even focus, and it's getting me in trouble. Mm-hmm. So that's where I think a lot of my fear is, because I try to be organized, and I just keep just falling, and I just want to run, you know?
Well, I would too, Pam. And the idea of having balance in your life is what I feel like you're really looking for. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, balance starts with you. You have to find that time for yourself. And if you got to reorganize everything, because I feel like if you make a decision to really go and do exactly what you really want to do, and instead of what society says you need to do, you're going to find a whole lot more time for yourself.
Yeah. I get it's a little bit of a different take on this. What I get, you know, when I ask for advice for her, they're not telling me like a specific course of action. What they're saying, it's more about the way that she is processing her environment and the people around her and the experiences that she has. What they're showing is someone kind of with a shield over their heart, trying to protect themselves, what is theirs, kind of closed off. And when I was talking before about the emotional rebirth and really following your emotions and your heart, they're saying instead of trying to protect yourself from what might happen or might go wrong or what you might not get, they're saying more being open and to receiving, because we have to be open in order to receive. And they just you like a little bit like hunched over, like trying to protect yourself, almost like, and they're telling, the cards are saying, stop that. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but they're showing me like a self-protective stance rather than open to receiving and inviting new experience and promotion and all the lovely things that you want into your life. It's almost like
Absolutely.
Making a space ready. Yeah.
You hit it. I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I stress out about it a lot because it is my livelihood. I've got my son just turned 17, my youngest turned 17, and it's pretty soon it's going to be all about me, you know? So I want to be happy. I want to make sure, you know, I'm done raising my kids, you know, in here, buddy,
mm-hmm.
here, and it's going to be all about me. And I want to be in that position where I want to get up every day and I want to go do, and, you know, I want to be able to have the things that I want. And I know that I can manifest them, but sometimes that, you know, I get that fear of that, but I have to work hard in order for it to come to be.
Right, and that's just an old belief that you can work on eliminating from your mind, you know, through affirmations. There's a lot of different ways of doing it, but they're just saying she looks closed off to receiving. How is she going to receive if she's too busy protecting or defending what is hers, afraid to lose anymore? She's got to be open. She's got to stop being so closed off.
Yeah. I've lost a lot.
And yes, absolutely. I understand why you feel that way. But when it comes to manifesting beautiful things into our lives, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So I try and work on that, you know? Change
mm-hmm.
your belief systems around a little bit.
Okay, cool.
Challenge yourself, yeah.
Yeah, just work, just open up. That's what I get told that a lot. I need to open up my heart a little more, even though it's open to and full to friends and family. I don't completely open it up to what I can receive. So,
mm-hmm.
I know that.
Yeah. There's a lovely book I was talking about before by Jerry and Esther Hicks, channeling Abraham Hicks. It's called The Law of Attraction, and they talk about that in this. It's a beautiful audio tape. I got it from audible.com, and I listen to it at night, and it talks about the law of allowing and the law of attraction and all the things that we kind of do unknowingly to kind of foil our own plans at greatness and abundance and fulfillment. So I might pick that up if I were you. It's a really great book.
Also,
I have it. I just haven't listened to it in ages.
Oh, honey.
Well, there we go.
There it is.
I have another one, too. It's called Manifesting Your Desires, 365 Ways to Make Your Dreams a Reality. It's by Esther and Jerry Hicks. So try that one out. I started reading this thing, and it kind of like, it goes through each page has something to say, and it just kind of, what it does, I like about this book is you progress from page 1 to 365, and you learn the whole way as you go through it, just like you would with spirituality. And that's really, it's a really cool book. So try to get this book too. I've had this book, and it's like when I sit here and get myself into certain situations, I have a tendency to refer to it a lot. And it's a very interesting book. So give that one a try too.
Okay.
Okay, Pam.
All right. Well, it was nice talking to you guys.
Well, it was nice
you
having
too,
you call
Pam.
In.
Good luck. Thank
you.
Okay. No. Yeah, you have a good day.
No problem. Watch out for that fire hydrant.
Don't say that. It's been cold here. We were getting like 16, 20 below zero here. It's not like that here normally. So. Yeah, so.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
I live out there. But I'm just saying, with the situation, if someone does slam into this little fire hydrant, I get, it's a slide into thing, so it's going to be like a minor little thing. It's just the idea of it happening. I think it's one of those things of seeing things for yourself, of having feelings, and understanding that things happen that you know, and you're very aware of those things, and you're very intuitive yourself. So use that.
Yeah, well, you know, my ex-boyfriend's car is still sitting out on the curb, and it's right by that fire hydrant.
Okay, so it might be the idea of moving a car.
Get it out of here,
move,
right?
Get it out of there.
Yeah, move that energy. Yeah, right out. Get it towed away. Gone. New.
I know, I'm trying.
Maybe you actually manifested the snow to cover it up. But now you got to deal with it, okay?
Yeah, he said he was coming to go pick it up one day, and he said they were coming to get it, and then he talked to me later, and he had gotten hit by a car, so...
Okay, so
what is this? Karma.
Yes, karma. Yeah, there you go.
All right, you guys. Your show has been awesome today. You guys have a great night.
Thank you. You have a good night too.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Okay.
Did you see how her energy changed, Donnie? From the beginning of the call to the end of the call.
Yes, I did.
That was amazing.
It is amazing. And she's actually a client of mine. She calls, and I was in her talking. And I've always noticed that when I talk to her and do readings with her, she does that, you know? And I'm just like, it is amazing to see that kind of change in people. But I think it's also like an example of saying how things can change so quickly if you just let them. And she was changing without, because she wasn't thinking about it. So everything kind of like went from this to that, and she felt a whole lot better. And I really feel like she's really, you know, she's on the verge of something really good. I think right now she just needs to sit there and take it easy with all the snow and stuff going on. She's right. I got a weather report. I keep track of Manitou Springs, and it was that one night, it was like 20 below zero. And I was like, I see why people keep telling me it's not time to go yet. So, you know. It's let's see what we got here. Area code 32, volume of twos now. 323. You're on the air to the show.
How
are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. What's your name?
Mike.
What is it?
Mike.
Mike?
Yes.
You don't know Carol, do you?
What?
There was a lady on the show earlier. She had a boyfriend. A husband named Mike.
I heard that part. I'm not him.
Okay, you're not Mike. That's great. I don't want to get caught in a triangle there, I'm telling you.
Oh, no. But
Say hi to Mike. I mean, sorry, hi to Mike. Say hi,
hi
to Amy.
Hi, Mike.
Mike.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
What's on your mind tonight? What would you like us to look at?
Well, I'm wondering if you both can maybe tap into my romantic aspect. For the past, like, year and a half, I've been ready to go from being single to not single, and I'm wondering if there's anything I should do or place I should go, because whatever it is I'm doing right now doesn't seem to be working.
Okay, so you're single, thinking about going into a relationship, and want to know what your best course of action is?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I was like, man, a lot of work there.
Let's see. What's his best course of action?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing I get is there's something that you're avoiding that needs to come to light, and I'm in the middle of asking what it is. Let's see. What is it he's avoiding that needs to come to light, that needs to be seen?
And the answer.
I get communication. They're saying communication. How much are you communicating honestly and effectively with this person?
Well, right now there's nobody. So.
Okay, then go
I'm
to
sorry,
the step.
I can't hear you.
He says he doesn't have anybody in his life per se right now. But and when you said communication, what came to me was you had the idea of communicating with yourself and being honest about exactly what you want.
Avoidance is twofold. In one respect, it's coming up as communication. In another respect, it's coming out about exposure or being seen, like making yourself available in the light. So I don't know what your social life is like, Mike, but if you are out, I get you're like the outsider looking in. You're not in the middle of the action.
Yeah, kind of. Pretty much exactly, yeah.
Well, that's the one thing I picked up too. That's the one thing I picked up too. Was it was like he's avoiding romance, so he wants a relationship. He's got that down, but the idea, the part I would say the filler, the romance part, in, that's in the middle, or how would you put it? It's just like he keeps focusing on relationship, but the romance part of actually being scared of being seen, I got as a person who's in some ways of some things you've been through. You're kind of scared of being in a romance that someone might actually see you for who you really are. Which I don't see that as a problem, but I see it as a fear.
Okay.
Well, I get it goes back to a belief system that he can't have a relationship. There's some part of you, Mike, where you're believing that the cards are stacked against you, that the chips are down, and that no matter what you do, you're not going to be able to have this. So I know you want this, but how much do you believe that you're going to have this? I have to question your belief system here. I get a little bit like I'm a victim of circumstance. I my hands are tied. There's nothing I can do. But at the same time, when I look at your action towards relationship, they're saying you're being an outsider. You're kind of avoiding direct communication and interaction with people.
Okay. Well, that is, I guess, true. So,
you need to change that belief is really where I see success coming in for you with regards to relationship. They are saying that you have a little bit of a trust issue. They show me you with, like, a baseball bat in hand ready to swing at me. Like, you can come so close, but I don't know about you. I don't really know that much about you, and I don't really know if I could trust you. And people feel that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, Mike. So take the ball bat and put it back in the freaking closet. Okay.
No, I'm not saying that at all. They just keep saying his belief system has to match his intention, and it's not matching right now. He's kind of being a martyr or a victim
saying. Well, I'm just saying what the situation I saw was the ideal. They showed me a closet and just letting it go and putting it back in there and going out there and trusting people. But it's also a reflection of how he trusts himself, because I feel like it's a past situation of some things that are going on that he wasn't exactly a nice person. And he's almost like he's scared he's going to repeat that again. But I feel like you've grown a lot since then, and you should go out there and basically share this with people. People are going to like you, I swear. You have so much to offer, and you just don't. You have so much to offer, and you're so talented. And they just keep telling me that it goes on forever. So the ideal, and you do this a lot. You socialize with a lot of people, but I don't think you really understand the effect that you have on people, which is a very positive thing. And I almost get the impression you could have already been in a relationship if you just would have lit down the walls, lit down your resistance, and just go out there and have a good time. Yesterday's bugging you, and you're scared. That's what I keep getting. You're scared of repeating something from your past. I just want you to sit here and say, hey, yesterday's gone, and the future's wide open. I really do. Because it says here, okay. It says, remember who you are, be courageous, and walk out there. Because the point is, you cannot work on this issue of trust unless you're actually unless you're actually intersecting with people. It says emerging, and you're looking for balance and some healing too, and even to the point of actually going out there and seeing this whole situation of yourself through other people to help you realize just who you are. I also get a nature thing with you too, where you need to go out and clear your head. It's like fresh air. Fresh air in nature just has a tendency to help you think, and you just open up. It's also, you know what to do. You know exactly what to do. But the one thing I got the most was with Archangel Michael talking about, remember who you are. Remember who you are. It's like one of those things of going back when you were 18 years old before all this craziness happened, of remembering who you are. The reason I say that a lot, too, because the angels always bring to me that we look like we're in our early 30s, spiritually. They also say God looks the same way, too. He's not an old man with a big old long beard. He ties around his head so he won't trip over it. They're saying that the ideal spiritual means there is no end. Actually, it's no beginning, no end. You live forever. So, therefore, you're always in the same state. It's just evolving. We've always got this thing in our head of basically spiritual knowledge and all this kind of stuff has to do with something with age, when it's just the idea of acquiring knowledge and also acquiring a self of knowing ourselves too. That's what they're saying here. Remember who you are. You're a powerful, loving, created child of God. You are very loved, and you don't think you are, and you are. You are a very powerful person. That means the idea of giving love shows you what kind of power that you have to give to everybody else, which reflects, and that's what we're all here for to do. I understand the one lady was thinking that we're here to help everybody else, but we can't be a good helper if we're not strong within ourselves. And they're just saying, have the courage and stand up for your beliefs. You stand up for who you are. And you're going to emerge. You're going to find the balance. Because right now you feel a bit unbalanced, and you're also looking for, in some ways, in another person, that balance. But you have to have that balance first before you get there. You have to be happy before you find happiness. You have to be abundance before you find abundance. Or you're just not going to attract it, because that's the vibration you're trying to send out. And I just feel like if you go hug a tree, you'd be great. Seriously. Go hug a tree.
All right, well, I do like nature. I do like to be outside. Everything you said is pretty much right spot on. Wow.
And the idea of a sycamore tree, I don't know what it is with sycamores with you, but a sycamore tree seems like it would really be the cure for you, in a sense of hugging a tree and connecting to the world again. I always tell people, when you sit there and focus, someone gave me a meditation once where they said, just sit on the edge of the bed and imagine your feet being rooted into the ground. Well, I took it one step further and did it with a tree. I would hug a tree, and I would use the visualization of the tree and the roots, and they're my roots too, and I would picture those roots going out into the world, connecting with every other tree and those roots until we covered the whole planet, and it came back to me, which gave me a sense of being reconnected to the world, but the world was also connected to me. But in the sense of trees, there's a sense of love and energy that comes through a tree. You have to experience it. It's not really something I can really put into words, but for some reason I say sycamore, and I did have attention. I was in Florida, and they have some really big sycamores down there, and they're very powerful. I mean, I hug this tree. I hug trees all the time anyway. But I hugged this sycamore tree, and I walked away like I just drank a case of beer. I was staggering all over the place, and people were going, "What's wrong with you?" I said, I think I should have kind of leaned into that one then, because I feel like I just took in too much energy, too much. But they're very powerful trees. I've done that meditation several times, and in order to be successful at anything in this life, it's going to come through somebody else. So therefore, you're a blessing as much as they are. So this all worked together, and that's what they say to you. You're taking yourself out of the world. Now you need to be a part of it again. And you will. And once you make that step, you're going to realize that the world's been waiting for you to come back as well. So you know what to do.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, try and be a little bit more motivated or assertive when it comes to encountering people. I mean, you don't have to have this guard up. It's really sabotaging the very thing that you want. So I wish you all the luck with that, honey. Thanks for calling.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Mike, thank you. And call us back and tell us exactly what happened, because I feel like in the next couple of months you're going to have some really good news to tell us in the first place, and I want to hear it.
Okay,
all right?
Sounds good.
Okay, thank you for calling.
Okay, take care.
And you have a fantastic night. All righty. Now we're going to go on to area code 574. You are on the air. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Karen. I'm calling from Indiana. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Karen. Indiana, huh?
Uh-huh.
So how is Indiana? I'm just saying, how cold is it there? How cold is it in Indiana? Because it's like 20 degrees
here.
Oh,
it's cold. It's cold. It's cold. I talked to you. Well, anyway, I just want to know, I'm trying to go in a different direction, which I'm going in a different direction, and I just want to know what you see regarding that. And before we get into it, I want to know if you have any time after the show. I'm Karen from Indiana with the two daughters.
I know who you are. Karen and your two daughters, we had a nice, you were actually on the show one day. We actually did a reading for all three of you guys at the same time. And they freaked out because I was actually pointing at them, and I wasn't even there. And they were taking it pretty well.
Yeah.
Also, say hi to Amy's here, too. Amy's here. Say hi to Amy.
Okay. Hi, Amy. How are you?
Hi, Karen. Good. How are you, hon?
I'm doing okay. I'm hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Okay.
Just want to just get some clarity what you might have or what you might see for me.
Okay. With regards to career, did you say? Did I hear you
right? No. I think mostly family right now, because I believe that when family is straight, everything else will follow. So that's kind of what I'm looking at right now.
Okay. Well, the first thing I get about you is that you are a deep well of emotion, dear heart. You have such a sensitive soul, and I just get your emotions run very, very deep. It's a beautiful thing to be so sensitive, but at the same time, we have to balance this sensitivity with some logic, with some air, instead of so much water, more air, more objectivity. It's saying, you know, you really let your emotions really lead you, and you should be leading them. So to a certain degree, I don't think it's so much with what people are doing around you, because obviously we can't change people, but we can change the way in which we process people. So with that being said, they're really calling you to look a little bit more objectively at this situation with regards to your family, rather than so empathically. Because I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm picking up you have great ambition as an empath. You have this talent. Did you know that?
I've been told that. I have been told that on several occasions. So yeah, I don't know it, but I've been told it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can feel other people's feelings and take on their feelings as if they were your own. That's basically what an empath is.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I'm getting with regards to family. I don't know if you want me to look at a certain person in your family or what. They're just saying that's the advice for her with regards to the situation. She's got to get out of her heart and more into her head. I get something about a blowout occurred here, and there's some hurt feelings, and they bring up the number 3 with regards to the hurt feelings, sadness, betrayal.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's pretty devastating what happened, this blowout. I just see it came out of nowhere, and everything just fell apart. That's kind of what I'm getting here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It all happened last night. Well, you might as well say this morning. And that is why I've asked Journeyman, does he have any time after the show? There's some real deep issue things that happened. And it did. It came out the blue.
Right. No, definitely call me after the show. I was just getting you. She's right. It was in the morning. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, whoa. I keep picking up your daughter, who's the one that's pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
okay. I keep getting a boyfriend or some male present. Okay. You're right. I'm just saying what the situation I see is there's a lot of things there that I would say that I personally wouldn't want to air on the air. Did I sound right? I don't want to put on the air. Okay.
Give me your phone number again.
Okay. Gosh, I just went blank. What is my phone number? 937-8. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, 937-838-6337.
Are you sure?
I'm sure about 937-838-6337. If anybody else out there is hearing as we go across, I do private readings, and right now for calling the show until February 14th, you can actually get a reading for $10 for an hour and $5 for a half hour. And tell everybody, be nice about it. If you're referred through somebody and you don't watch the show, but you've been referred to them, you will still get half off of what I usually charge, which is $45 for an hour and $25 for a half hour. So, but it's only until February 14th, and then we're going into the spring month with a bang. And like I said before, there are a lot of people who have been listening. The reason I'm doing that is because you've all sat there and said, I better do that. So therefore, I'm taking your advice. So I appreciate everybody out there who's been really supporting me and pushing me in that direction and for helping me make that decision. So thank you very much. And yes, with I forgot her. Karen, right?
I do have a question. Regarding being an empath, what direction can you take that in that would be a positive thing for a person? I mean, you know, it's understanding, you know, you feel other people's pain and what they're going through, or you walk in a room and you feel a certain vibe in the room. But what can you do with that? I mean, how can you do that?
You can do so much with that. You can actually walk into a room, feel when someone's down, even though they're smiling, and say a couple of words to them and change how they're feeling. You can bring their vibrational energy even higher.
Do you have any books that you recommend that I could maybe study and find out more about it? I know I've been told that, but that's about it.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. No, Amy, go ahead. I mean, I was just going to tell her that when she calls me later and we do a session, I got some books, but I could also run over some techniques, but there's a lot of things you can do. And go ahead, Amy.
Well, the one that came to mind, because, you know, to be honest with you, I haven't done much reading up on the subject of empath. I mean, I'm pretty much a natural empath, and I don't – sometimes I get a little bit lost or I get tunnel vision with regards to reading other people's books on how they do things. But I would recommend this one book that I do have. It's all about psychic self-defense. And it's a wonderful, wonderful book because when you are an empath, you are a little bit more left wide open to other people and negative emotions or thought forms.
Yeah.
So the name of the book is called Practical Psychic Self-Defense, and it's by Robert Bruce. And I'll post that in the chat room here if anyone else wants to check it out. It's a wonderful, wonderful book because with this gift, we have to learn boundaries, because if we don't, we can be around some depressing people and get very depressed ourselves. You know, we have to kind of set some limitations or some boundaries, healthy boundaries for ourselves.
Right.
You know, which I think is why your reading was coming through. She needs to get a little bit less in her heart and more in her mind. You know, reading books, though, I think is good to a certain point, but I really don't. I think we intuitively have the knowledge. It's just exploring it, practicing, and figuring it out. Sometimes books are great for just getting some ideas, and then we go off exploring ourselves. That's the kind of motto or philosophy that I follow with regards to, you know, taking classes
mm-hmm.
or book learning. But that's a great book to really help you kind of gauge yourself as far as boundaries and not letting other people and their emotions overtake your energy.
Yeah, I usually sit there and tell people that what you need to do in certain situations, like you're trying to go through this whole thing, is to sit there and I always say work with your angels, and if they start directing you in certain places to get books and that kind of stuff. I've actually been realistic. This is what happened to me. I was trying to find this book that I have called Super Beings by John Randolph Bryce, which is a very good book, because I swear to you, that book changed my life in like 4 days. I'm not saying that just to say that because of the book on this guy. Like, we have some kind of, you know, but I just feel like he's a great guy, very intuitive. And he talks about how to become a super being, which is the ideal of actually focusing and creating the life that you want and how to do that. And it was just a really powerful book, and I lost it. I actually gave it away like 3 or 4 times. And I was in Daytona Beach, and I really wanted that book back. And when I say let your guidance take you where you need to go to, I went into this bookstore, and I'm like, I could not find this book anywhere. I said, okay, guys, you always lead me places to find exactly what I'm trying to get when you say, go get this book. I don't see this. And something came to me and said, go to the end of the shelves, and then you'll find a little bookshelf. Take the 2 books that are in front and push them to the side, and you'll find your book. And that's exactly what happened. I went down to the end, saw this little thing. I was sitting there going, really, it's that easy. And I pushed it to the side, and there was that book. And it was actually an older version of it, which is exactly what I wanted. So I'm always saying this stuff, man. I've lived it so many times, and it still amazes me to this day when things like that happen. But I got exactly what I wanted to. So in your situation, I'm just saying, I got some things I can actually run through them with you to give you a feel of it, what you're looking for. And I have some books too as well. But I also feel like with the situation you're in, there's just not you. Okay, it's also your 2 daughters.
Right.
Now we talked about this before too, about the intuition, the abilities of, also you have very gifted children that need to be. It's like working on yourself and the process of helping them coming
right
into their own, because I always feel like the younger you get into this stuff and you have some supportive people that understand what's going on, you know, it's going to have a very positive effect on your life, just that with the children, but also your own as well. Because a lot of people who have gifted children don't realize. Yeah, go ahead.
That's why I think I was directed back here because of that, you know.
No problem. Amy, would you have anything to add to that?
Any more books? No, that's the one I would pretty much recommend with regards to that. Learning how to create boundaries, learning, I have to do it in reading all the time where I'm taking on a lot of negative energy sometimes,
mm-hmm.
talking about, you know, sexual abuse, talking about physical violence. All of those things are thought forms, and they can attach to us and actually bring us down if we let them. But I was telling the chat room not too long ago, my guide had brought me last summer to this point where she said, I want you to make these tub teas. And I was like, what the heck is this? And she told me, like, it's going to be Dead Sea salt, and it's going to be Epsom salt, and it's going to be lavender buds, and it's going to be lavender essential oil, and all these different, I had some chamomile I threw in there. I had, like, 3 different recipes. And I read in a book one day that people use tub teas to actually eliminate negative thought forms from them, so that we're always, you know, kind of fresh and revitalized after either reading or being in a hospital. There's so many different places you can pick up these feelings. You know, so it's a practice that I've kind of gotten into, and being mindful of who I'm talking to, the places that I'm going to. If I'm in public places for a long time, I'll do these baths. It's a wonderful thing. But, no, I would really try and really use your own intuitive guide to see what it is that you need to explore. The books are great for reference or for starter points, but
mm-hmm.
I think we all have the universal knowledge to know what it is we need to do with our gifts. It's just a matter of practicing and spending the time in meditation, and dreams come, you know, signs come through dreams all the time,
mm-hmm.
Getting readings. There's a lot of different ways to evolve spiritually, not just from reading the books. Because the only thing that's a drawback to the books is you get tunnel vision sometimes. You start thinking
mm-hmm.
this is the right way, and there is no right way. Every way is the way. I hate to sound confusing or esoteric,
no,
but it's true.
I can understand exactly what you're saying, but when you don't know what you're looking for, or even what it's about, you need a starting point. You need something, and then you can kind of go away on your own. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? If you don't know anything about it, it's good to have some kind of a starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. I would start with your heart, dear, and I would start feeling how you feel around people that you know. Really start paying attention to what messages might come through your head, what your heart might be telling you. Do you get restrictive and tight around somebody? Are you feeling more relaxed around somebody else? And you pretty much, it's neat to start out with people that you know, because you can sense their energy and you know what's going on in their lives, so you get like kind of like a general reference point. And then you go out into society and you're around other people. See how you feel. What are your emotions telling you about this person?
You're right, because when my daughters, when they come in the house, you know, I look at them and I could feel like, okay, are you okay? Is something the matter? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, they'll tell me no, you know. But, you know, I guess in the natural sense, you just come across that just, you know, as something, just something. You don't really think about it, you know. And so now it's time for me to start thinking about it. You know, I would have those feelings, but I wouldn't really, you know, put any credence to it, I guess, if
mm-hmm.
I could say it the best way.
Ooh. I understand. It's one of those things that you just got to learn how to trust what you're feeling and what you're picking up on, and just
right,
because I know
right.
sometimes
okay.
I'm just saying, with some things that are happening and that kind of thing, it just seems like it's a situation that's constantly, you're learning more about the whole thing to approach it. Because I know a long time ago it was like, in some ways it was like I had to think about things or do certain things. Now it's just like someone says something and the information just starts flooding into my head. So it's a progression, and you're like, it's one of the things to start with. That's what I was saying. And the first thing came to me was the idea, yeah, call me after the show, we'll do the session, but I'll also introduce you to a couple of meditations that I do. And then
okay.
but what she's saying is you got to come into your own, what works for you.
Yeah I want to open the door, and you know, you might put it, I want to open the door to more realization of to what it is and how to use it and that type of thing, instead of just thinking about, oh, well, yeah, I feel this way, or I feel strange around this person, or, you know, something like that. I
mm-hmm.
want to open
no,
the door
trust
and
it.
Really
yeah.
learn more about it. Yeah.
I call it my spidey sense.
Yeah, I get that little tingly stuff sometimes, too. Even
yeah.
in my belly, I get it. Even in my belly, sometimes I get it.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, focus on your if you haven't really been introduced to chakras, that will really open a lot of doors for you, because, I mean, what you're doing there when you're tingling your stomach, that's your solar plex kicking in. And I always tell people, when you walk into a situation, you're feeling a little powerless and a little bit unknown about the whole thing. A lot of people look at that and say, well, I got butterflies in my stomach, and I just met this guy for the first time, so that's all it is. I always say, no, take a little deeper than that, because your solar plex is kicking in for a reason. Because I've been in relationships before when I met the person, and I didn't have that reaction. I was actually really comfortable with them. And it actually really did go, some of the relationships didn't last a long, long time, but they did start off really well, okay? And that was telling me right then, everything's calm, everything's fine, and it's a good thing. So that's what I'm saying, just go back and forth. I'm in empath, too. And one thing I would sit there and really want to sit down and work with you, because being an empath, I had a lady walk up to me one time, and she was a friend of mine, so she understood what was going on. She understood what I was all about. And she was going through a really stressful situation, and she grabbed my leg. All of a sudden, I had migraines, like, in 2 seconds, because I just absorbed all that negative energy. So, and sometimes with certain situations, you have to, the idea of knowing when you walk into a situation, what you're getting yourself into, is also the way of protecting yourself, too. So,
you know, it's strange, because a lot of those times, I used to think, and it was me. I was thinking that, all of a sudden, I'm getting down, and why? I used to actually think it was me. I was going through feeling about something, a thought came in or whatever, and I just, you know, got down. Or sometimes I get excited, and I think, well, why am I getting so excited? And I just would think it was me.
I'm just saying, trust it.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's a learning experience. I mean, the first time I took my best friend and threw him to the freaking ground, he thought I was nuts, but as 2 seconds later, a car comes up and around the corner. And he was like, he was actually thanking me for 20 minutes. I was like, could you stop? You know, I just did what came to me real quick. I reacted and grabbed him and threw him through the sidewalk before he got hit by a car. But, you know,
oh,
it's just
yeah.
it was one of those things of saying, okay, we did it. Now can we go and go to the restaurant and get some pizza? I mean, that's, I'm just saying what
all
the
right.
situation.
Amy. What I'll do, what time is a good time to give you a call?
What you should do is you should give me a call at 10 because I'm going to stress to everybody who's in the queue right now. If you're still there, and even when we get off the air, I will still answer your questions. And if Amy wants to stick around and help me with answer some questions, that would be great. But I'm going to stick around and I'm going to stick around until we get everybody taken care of. So don't worry, don't freak out. I've actually been on the air an hour after the show has gone off, so I'm going to get to every one of you guys, okay? And Karen, right?
Yes.
I just want you to call me about, between 10 and 10:30.
Okay,
I don't
know. How about 10:30?
10:30 sounds great.
Okay, all right.
I'll be looking forward to that, okay? Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Thanks, Amy.
Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.
And the little circle goes, okay, there we go.
We've been having such a dramatic conversation here in the chat room about, you know, reality and breakdown of the rational mind. This is such a wonderful conversation. I'm so happy to be here, Donnie. Thanks again for the invitation.
Oh, you're welcome. No problem. I'm sorry I had to duck out there for a minute. I had to get some water and some ibuprofen. I'm trying to sit here and deal with it because I was actually having a flashback to Betty when she did that. She grabbed my leg and I was like, oh, and I walked out of the room, too. That's what I was trying to say. I walked out of the room, and everybody's like, well, he's being rude to you, isn't he? She goes, no. She goes, he's an empath. He just picked up everything that I just experienced today, and now he has to go and get rid of it. So I was like, I love some of my friends because they were so understanding about when they would do things or stressful situations were really going on, I would just exit from the situation because, I mean, earlier in when I was doing this kind of work, I wasn't really versed in protecting myself, so I just basically ducked out and said, forget this, man. I'll see you guys later. I can feel it coming on. So I could definitely, I've been an empath since I was like 4, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's a blessing and a curse is the way I've heard it. I don't think it's a curse, but, you know, you have to really practice how to set boundaries. Otherwise, emotionally, you can really run the gamut, and it's not fun being on a roller coaster 24/7.
Oh, yeah, because people were sitting there, and like I told you, I saw about this yesterday. I said I was sitting in a room doing readings, and it wasn't really doing readings. I was just, all of a sudden, my friends, all these people I just met and some of their friends and that kind of stuff were just overwhelming me so much. I just stood up in the middle of the room and go, okay, I'm not answering any more freaking questions until someone answers me a $20 bill. Now, the reason I did it was to say, okay, stop. I know because I have people, I had friends of mine would jack up the prices on Keen, just for so people wouldn't call them. And if people did call them, they would deal with it then and then, you know, accept the money. But they were just basically protecting themselves and say, okay, stop, please. Now, this person stood up and handed me a $20 bill. I'm like, okay, I didn't see that coming. So I guess I can answer your questions for you, you know, because I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, I didn't see anybody doing that. This guy said, here you go, here's a $20 bill. Now, am I going to get a girlfriend or not? Which was very embarrassing at the time because his wife was sitting on the couch. And I was just like,
wow.
I was like, I cannot believe this guy's actually asking this question. Now, I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you, but as I was walking up the hallway and she was walking down the hallway, there was this strong energy came across me going, whoa, you have a really strong attraction to me, don't you? And she was like, what? And I was like, okay, I'm sorry if I blurted it out, but I said it hit me so hard. And was so strong, I was just like, okay, that was freaky. And then she pulled me to the side, and she goes, so what do you think? I'm sitting there going, right now I'm not thinking about nothing but going back to the room. I'll talk to you later. But I've had all kinds of experiences with this kind of work where things just hit me so quickly and so fast, and it's like, this is what's going on, to the point where people are going, I wonder what that's up to. I mean, have you ever had these experiences before?
Oh, yeah. No, I completely understand where you're coming from. And we were just talking about that in the chat room a little while ago. It's daunting, you know, to say the least, especially when you're just starting out, you know, and you're surprised, you know. You don't really know your own power until you get in the spotlight and you're in front of people and people are seeking you out. And it's like, it really does reaffirm your mission, you know, or at least my mission.
Oh, yeah, because I was saying before, I wasn't trying to brag, but I said, I walk into a shop and I just happen to be very passionate because people go, what do you do? okay, should I really tell you? You know, because I know, you know, it's like you, sometimes you never know. So I just sit here and say things. Next time I'm sitting here doing palm readings. I mean, I remember I moved to Colorado when we opened our shop, and I thought it would be a cool thing just to walk around all the shops and just do free palm readings for everybody. And then they started directing everybody to me. So I was like, okay. But there's like, but when you walk in my shop, the one thing I always want to make sure that when you walked in there that you were very comfortable, and I had candles burning and incense and, you know, just happy music and everything. So people walk in, I always feel like the more comfortable people are, the more open they are, and the more it just enhances the experience.
Oh, absolutely. It really does help people kind of open up, because I think some people are a little bit, at least from what I've seen, a little bit reserved or a little bit skeptical, and they're not sure what to expect. And yeah, I completely agree. Setting the ambiance is very important.
And, you know, sometimes when I'm sitting here, I like to joke around, and I don't really, as I call it, take it too seriously. I'm, you know, I try to be a professional, of course, but I don't think professional and being serious are not the same thing. Does that make sense?
Yes. I agree.
I'm going to sit here and take some more calls. Are you up for it?
Absolutely. I'm ready.
Okay. Here we go. And plus, by the way, too, Amy, it's great having you here, too. It's been a really awesome show.
Absolutely. It's been great.
And we're going to take area code 440. You're on the air. Welcome to the show. And what's your name? And hello. Hello. Eric, this is area code 440. You're on the air.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. How
Thank
are you?
Thank you. Sorry.
What's your name?
My name is Marianne.
Marianne. And where are you calling from?
I'm
Arizona?
Calling from the Ohio area. And we are getting lots of snow, too. So.
Yes, sweetie, I know, and we haven't got it yet, because I'm on the other side of Ohio, and I'm sitting there going, I'm looking at my window going, I don't want it.
Well, it's coming your way. So.
Thank you. I appreciate that information. I'm still shooing it away. Also, say hi to Amy. She's with us, too.
Hi, Amy. I've been listening to you this evening and have enjoyed your insights, so thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, Marianne. How can we help you?
Well, I was wondering what you might see in the way of a significant relationship coming into my life, and if there's anything blocking it. I've had some really strange things happening. I was engaged to a man to be married, and he broke it off almost 2 years ago, and we've had no contact, and I've really tried to move on, but whatever I'm doing doesn't seem to be working. And within the last, like, month, I picked up a flyer for the grocery store, and it said, pick up your gift cards, like Christmas gift cards. And the name of the gift cards were his last name. And I'm looking up at Spirit going, go away. So then I'm working on a crossword puzzle that night, and it asked for a cartoon character's partner. Well, it was his first name, and I'm going, go away.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day, I see 3 license plates, and he's now living in a southern state. I'm in, you know, northeastern Ohio in the dead of winter. I see 3 license plates from that state in winter, and I'm going, okay, guys, what are you trying to tell me? So,
can I say something? Can I start off here real quickly? Because I got a real quick vision, because she was talking about certain things. But see, the one thing I don't see is crossing paths or anything that I would say that you will be crossing paths with a certain individual. But the one thing I did pick up the most, and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, we were talking about cutting cords, but the one cord that most people forget to cut or even think about or focus on is the one that's probably the most powerful part of a relationship, which is the sexual part. And a lot of people have not, you know, it's like, I cut all the cords, and you go, okay, did you cut the sexual cord? And they're going, what? And that's the first thing I picked up with you, was when you started talking about, you're seeing his name here, you're seeing this, you're seeing that. It's like the message came to me was, they're reminding you to cut the cord to him.
And,
I've done that
multiple times. So I'll keep working on that.
Well, actually, you know, I was thinking about what Amy talked about last night when she had the guest on the show last night, Rose Tree. She actually has a book on how to cut cords, which I would actually recommend, because her technique, I actually was listening to some of the things she said, and there are some things that I would sit there and say I'm not really sure about, but the one thing that I was actually attracted to myself was the cutting cord thing.
Okay, what's the name of her book?
That's a good question.
Hold on, I can get it for you, Donnie. If you want to continue to talk, I can look it up in just 2 seconds.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
With the situation with the ideal, that I feel like once you do get a chance to actually look at the thing, and when you cut the cords, exactly what were you doing? Was you working with Archangel Michael to cut those cords?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm just saying, with the situations of a lot of times with the cutting those whole things and cutting the cords, it's also good to work with, and that's how that comes to me, right? To work with Archangel Michael, of course, but also the ideal of working with Archangel Raphael to help you heal and to get past those things, but also Archangel Gabriel to help you to verbalize and talk to yourself as you're going through the processes, because our self-talk will give us a lot of answers of what is still hanging on to us. And I've done it before myself, too. I've worked with Archangel Michael, and I've actually said that I know there's cords there that I'm not really – I know they're there, but for some reason, they're, like, right underneath the surface, okay?
Okay.
So I asked them to cut those, too, as well. But right now, to this point, I'm just saying I feel like I'm being directed to actually look for other techniques to make it permanent and to cut those ties, and not just – because when I say work with Archangel Raphael – Archangel Raphael is a healer, but he's also an angel of abundance as well. And people don't understand that when you hang on and you don't cut the cords completely, not just with a lover, but with it affects a lot of things in your life, trying to get to open those doors again. Because when we shut the doors, we really don't pay attention to what doors we shut. We just shut up, you know, like, I'm done. Not realizing at that point we've shut more doors than we actually meant to do. And sometimes it's not as easy to open them back up as in the idea of getting your head open and going, okay, let's go back and do that again. But I've just noticed working with the archangels, it seems to hold, it is really easy to do. And the idea of Gabriel being there with you is also a way of helping you to listen to your self-talk, but also be very honest about what you're hearing and be honest with yourself. Because a lot of times when you cut the cords, I feel like in some ways they can still be attached because you allow that person. And even in thought, because, I mean, if we start to think about telepathic, that is still energy going back between the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still so that connection is going on as well. So it's
yeah.
the idea of maintaining and making sure that you're cutting not just the cords, but any kind of communication, because at those moments, I think they're reminding you that communication is still going on. Now, the reason I was saying a lot of stuff in the first place, because I just didn't see you guys ever getting back together. I never saw you guys crossing paths. And so when I start seeing those things, it always leads me back to you working with yourself and letting go of things. And that's exactly what I saw. Because I keep seeing Donald. I don't know who. My name is Donald, too, but I don't see myself. I'm just saying when I sit there and saw that you were saying, like, license plates and stuff, I keep seeing. Actually, what I was seeing was Don. And there's a D. I don't know what the D is.
His name is Dale.
Okay. I knew there was a D there, and I kept seeing D. And it was really directing me there quickly. So they might have put Don, because that's what a lot of people call me too as well. And they call him Dan. Or Daniel.
Okay.
Did someone call him
the
Dan?
Name?
Sorry, sweetie.
I'm sorry.
I'll just throw it out there. Go ahead, Amy. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, that's great. The name of the book is Cut Cords of Attachment. And, again, that's by Rose Tree. And her website, if anyone wants to check that out again, is www.rose-rosetree.com. She actually has a couple of workshops, weekend workshops coming up in Sterling, Virginia. I don't know how far that is from you, dear, but you could at least get the book and read through that. She talks about it quite in depth here and a lot of techniques. There's over 20 techniques in this book. So I think that might help you a little. When I looked at it as well, I didn't see anything going on as far as a reconciliation. So I'll agree with Donnie on that. There is an element, they're saying, of hope, faith, or optimism still that this might be like predestined. Although they're saying if this were to be if this were to be revisited, it would end again in disappointment because this man very much, there's a control issue here, meaning I've got to have things my way and I'm not flexible or bendable. I am not willing to kind of conflict resolute in a way that would allow both of us to kind of move forward. It's pretty much my way or the highway, what I'm getting from him. So that's going to make it really tough to work through the issues because I do see that there's some hurt feelings here. I also get, to a certain degree, he likes to cast illusions and manipulate things to his advantage. Otherwise than that, they're saying he tends to be a bit lazy when it comes to maintaining and keeping a relationship. So I think, and I've gone through that before too, I can so relate with what you're saying because I had the same thing with an ex from my past that I didn't get any resolution or closure on, and his name kept coming to me. I would even get these email links from his email address coming to my email, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? What is this about, you know? Very, very confusing. I'm screaming at the universe, what do you want me to do? There's nothing more I can do. What else am I supposed to do? But, you know, in asking my guide what this was about, I asked her in a quiet meditation one day, and she said, you need to let it go. And there were a lot of hurt feelings in that situation, and it did not end very well. And I'd thought about it and given a lot of energy and focus to the situation over the years that we hadn't talked. So I'm still in the process of working through it myself, so I can really identify with what you're saying. You know, and it depends on how you really want to deal with it, I think, is what it comes down to. A lot of people tend to... Go ahead.
And you are right. So this is a man I've been with in several lifetimes. Part of the contract I had, an agreement coming into this life, is that we had not been able to marry in other lifetimes, and that was part of the agreement. And we know, you know, free choice. He's made some other decisions. He is not evolved. I have, and he is in a very dark space. So, I mean, I honestly do know that it is not going to work. That it is just, I can't be in that light. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I truly do want to move on and find and bring in the right partner for me in this lifetime. And like I said, I know it's not him. And I keep going, I thought I got rid of him, guys. I mean, a funny story, part of the release I did, I called in his angels and my angels, and I picked up everything to burn, papers, pictures, dried flowers he gave me, in a paper bag, lots of papers. I brought the angels in. I was talking to him, telling him it was over, you know, it was being cut. I lit this. It went out. Paper.
Oh, my God.
Paper went out. So I had this other conversation, and I said, I don't care what you guys do. This is done. It's over. If I have to go get gasoline and pour it on this, this is symbolically being burnt. It's being released. And I had to go through several times until I finally was able to get the stuff to burn. I mean, I'm just going, oh, boy, this is too weird for me.
Sheesh. No,
Amy, I'm sorry, you were starting to say other things?
Oh, no, that's no problem. When I look at you as a whole and I ask, okay, so what part of her energy is still affected? Why? Because I do believe it's being brought to you for a purpose. When I was going through it myself, I knew there was something to it. But what they're bringing up with you is there is a trust issue that has cropped up in your energetic field as a result of this man, and that has to be balanced out. So that's really where I'm seeing the attachment. Like if I could identify one part of your etheric body that is still affected or where that connection is still lodged,
okay.
I see it's in trust. Not to say that you're a distrustful person, but there's a little bit of anxiety about, you know, is what I'm seeing really what I'm getting here?
Okay.
You know, there's like almost a little bit of doubt or like, is this going to happen again? I should keep this guard up to make sure that I'm protecting myself because I don't know what else to think. I can't, and they're just saying, really, it needs to be balanced out. Yes, we should be guarded to a certain degree, but what I'm seeing in you is like an imbalance, more of like, I don't think I can trust. I don't know. I have to protect myself. What if that happens again? And that is the best way to attract either that one back or someone like that.
Okay.
So they're really cautioning you. Try and balance that out. And I'm going to ask how you can balance that out, because I know it's really easy for me to sit here and say, just trust more, honey. But, you know, it's hard to do, especially with the hurt feelings that I've seen here. So let's just see what they have to say about how to trust. Okay. They're saying that you are in need of healing. They are saying that this, what they're describing you as to me is like a wounded soldier, someone who has went to battle, gotten beat up, and they're coming back a bit shell-shocked. So
mm-hmm.
they're saying there's still wounds here. They need to be healed. That needs to be changed. So let me ask, and sometimes I'm sorry I'm skipping around here, but they're not giving me a definitive answer right now. They're saying this is more your choice to be afraid and to feel you need to protect yourself and to guard against people because you can't completely trust them or not. So
mm-hmm.
that's what they're really telling me. This comes down to a simple choice.
Okay.
And then to practice that choice, to put that choice into practice.
Okay.
And I would just say, I would just say with my cards, they're sitting there saying, you know what to do. Outdoors seems like a big thing. They talk about healing and balancing there. It's outdoors. But it's also the idea of remembering who you are as well, saying that you're a very powerful, loving, creative child of God. So therefore, get back to that whole thing. Because a lot of people have a tendency that there are situations and things on around to be more powerful than they are. And you're just giving that power to them. But it also talks about being courageous and standing up for what you know and what you believe. And because in some ways, the idea of protecting yourself, you kind of got, I guess, away from some of your beliefs because of what they produced in the past. But it says if you hang on to that and be courageous and stand up for what you are and who you are, they show you emerging from the situation. And I actually got the new love card. So
oh.
I see a new love coming in about 2 months. But I keep, when I sit here and do timing, every once in a while I'll get dates, but not very often. And the reason it is because you have a lot to do with that.
Right.
So it's like the idea right now you're not doing a lot of work that you know you should do. And I feel like once you start doing that, then the timing changes. And I feel like it's going to be a whole lot closer. Because the first thing I got was I was shuffling my cards. And they show me the new love card. And then they let me shuffle the rest of the cards. I didn't pull that card out. They just showed it to me as I was cutting the deck. And I continued to shuffle. And I looked at this balance as a foundation for you of, you know, reminding yourself you do know what to do. You need to trust your inner knowledge and act upon it without a delay. You need to go outside, get some fresh air, connect with nature, and relieve stress and gain new creative ideas on how to do that. And the way of doing that, you get balance. And the idea of balancing yourself out and really trusting yourself, that's how you heal too. But then you get back to remembering who you are, and then you understand how powerful you are. Then you can be courageous and stand up exactly for your beliefs and what you think you definitely need to do, which you've done a lot of times, but in between, they're talking about take the in-between times and make them a continuous 24-hour, you know, 24/7. And then they show me this emerging card where you're looking to the future very open. And I feel like some of the things you've already done today of realizations have actually brought this situation of a new lover coming into your life a whole lot quicker. So I actually felt that as you were talking, because you're coming to realizations as you talk to us at this moment. And that's good.
Yep.
That shows you are a very spiritual person, and you've actually realized that. So you're listening very intensely. So you're taking this information that you're getting, and you're taking it to the bank, and you're going to really do some things. I'm just saying, from what we're picking up now, is the idea of walking out. And when you, I would say, as soon as you get the phone, I would definitely go where you're led to go, because I feel like it's going to happen that quick.
Okay. Great.
How about you, Amy?
Yeah, I completely agree, and my heart really does go out to you, honey, so much so. I can relate with burning things and throwing things away. Oh, my God. I did everything I could possibly think of to get rid of this, but heal from it, and I'm working on that. So my biggest advice to you would be try and release any fear or any distrust you might have. Do some affirmations with regards to feeling safe in the world and the people around you. Empower yourself to know that, you know, you allow whoever you want in your life, in your sacred space, and that they don't have to hurt you. You know, you've learned so much from this. You really have. So take that and run with it.
Okay.
Have fun.
Thank you.
Exactly.
You're welcome.
thanks.
Take care, honey. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. If you can just leave me and listen, I've enjoyed listening to these.
Oh, okay. No problem.
Sure.
Let's
great.
Put you right
thanks.
Back on mute. Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. All right. Let's go on to my favorite calls. 1-1-1-1-1-1. Okay.
Okay.
Love these 11s. Okay. Sometimes the switchboard doesn't want me to go click. Okay, here we go. One more time. Click. Okay, maybe 3 is the charm. There we go.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air. How are you?
Fine.
What's
can you hear
name?
Me?
Yes, I can hear you. I said you're welcome to the show, and what's your name?
My name is Tabitha.
Tabitha?
Hello, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Amy's here,
hi,
too.
Hi, Tabitha. How are
how's
you?
How's going, Amy?
Good, good, honey. What's on your mind?
Oh, boy, I'm a terrible mess. There's a couple things going on. I got some addictions going on, and I need a job, and I'm kind of wondering if I'm ever going to have a love life.
Okay. All right. Well, let's just I'm going to look at you, or Donnie, if you want to start out. I'm going to start looking at her because everything else is going to spring from her energy. The love life, the job. We really need
mm-hmm.
to focus more on this addiction. I want to look at that.
Yeah.
So let's just see what's going on energetically, because, you know, if we're building our energy, everything that we're building on that foundation will come if we've got the right foundation. So let's just look at her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. I get some avoidance. Avoidance of being self-reliant and being okay. I get a lot of hesitation and a lot of caution, too, as far as making decisions and putting your feet forward. It's almost like I'm on shaky ground. I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit hesitant to move forward. Can I really do this? So there's some self-doubt that's coming up from that. Now, at the heart of the addiction, let's look at that.
Tabitha.
Okay.
Tabitha, with this addiction you have, is there any kind of connection to the nose?
To the lungs.
Okay, to the lungs. I'm just wondering, because I got this really strong connection with the nose, and I pick up senses. I've actually done that with people who, when past ones are here, they have a tendency to give me senses, like, say, like watermelon. I smell watermelon. And with you, I started getting a really tingling sensation in my freaking nose. Whether it's something about this addiction that you have, there's a connection there somewhere. And
it's messing with my nose. You're right about that. It is,
okay.
That's what it is. It's messing with my nose. Give me. It's messing with my nose, huh?
And you have really bad.
With
you
my
also,
body. Period.
Right, but the sinuses are really they're really driving you crazy too, right?
Yeah, but I
yeah.
don't mess with the nose, but it I guess that's one of the effects of it.
I'm just saying, you know, that's a sign for you that it's a, like. It's like the it's like as what you need to do. I get the impression what you need to do, what you know you need to do. It's like you're doing things to spite yourself. You've heard the terms "you cut your nose off to spite your face" or something like that. I keep getting these things going back and forth where that's happening for you. But I also feel like that God, there's a lot of guidance coming through. Where they're messing with you all the time, and they're trying to bring these things to the front. And that was the first thing I picked up on was I got this freaking fat problem with the freaking nose. And I've also had some problems with migraines all freaking day. And a lot of times I don't understand these things until I come across somebody who's having these same problems. I've actually had things where I'll pick up Steve. Don't understand why I'm picking up Steve. I'm sitting here washing my clothes. And as soon as I get on the show, I meet somebody who's Steve, and I connect with them really strongly about how what's really going on and a lot of things of death. You know, and I'm not trying to freak you out or nothing like that, but there's a lot of things that you already know. It's just a realization of your why you want to really change a lot of things here, and it's just a reminder to you that you really need to start following through really quickly and really what you've already put into play, that you can do this. This is not impossible. I guess it was one of those things of relinquishing your power to what you were doing, and it's just the idea of understanding how you can really take it back as quick as you gave it. And I'm going to let Amy take over from there.
Well, I get this addiction, honey, starts actually with you in your heart. It might manifest through your lungs, your nose, whatever means that you're of what substance you're using. But they're just saying this really starts from her emotions. And when I look at you emotionally, they're saying that she feels and then I just get like a hitting bottom. It's almost like emotionally, you need to grow, because they're saying she's having a problem dealing with her feelings. They crop up, and then it's like the end of the world, oh my God, and then it jumps into, I'm having an issue with control, keeping control over my competing forces, because one side of you is saying, I want to do this, and I want to not feel. The other part of you is saying, you know, I don't really want to do this. I know this isn't good for me. And instead of trying to have the emotional wherewithal to kind of breathe through every moment until you're out of that impetuous state, they're saying you kind of just go for it. You know, it's almost impulsive. And this is due to an emotional reaction. So there's some issues, I would say, with regards to the way in which you're processing things emotionally. Instead of being in the moment and saying, okay, whatever's going on right now, I'm okay right now. No matter what's going outside of me, what's going on with other people, what's going on in my environment, I am okay for right now. And resisting that urge to just numb out and not feel, that's what they're saying here. So I think with the addiction, it's emotionally stunted your growth to a certain degree. What really needs to happen here, when I'm asking for advice for you with what you need to do, they're saying you need to stop avoiding your feelings. It's almost like I don't want to feel them. It's almost like what I feel like if I'm trying to get into your energy, when I feel something crop up emotionally, I want to run away from it because it feels like it's the end of the world. And whatever's going on is not really the end of the world. It's just you're not willing to face. It's easier to run away from it rather than to face it. Do you notice what you think before you use? Do you notice what's going on?
Oh, definitely, yeah. A lot of things happened during my childhood. And, you know, I got to learn to forgive. Kind of hard. I blame other people. It's hard.
Yes, I understand.
And I'm just not taking care of me.
Yeah, I just feel like you also the idea of saying to yourself in these situations, just telling yourself, I'm enough. Because it seems like you really have a lot of pressure on your shoulders.
Yeah, I do.
And just saying, I just had someone tell me this today, I am enough. I am enough. And as I've been doing that, I've also seen a lot of things coming to the surface of why I am blocking a lot of things. And it's a lot of fear, a lot going on. And I've also done things myself where I had certain situations in the past, not really drugs per se, but anything can be considered a drug, an addiction, of where you're trying to drown out a lot of stuff. And it was one of those things that sometimes when it came to the psychic ability part, I had a tendency to do a lot of drinking, which I wasn't too happy with, which I don't do anymore. But it was one of those things of taking a very strong stance and walking away from the whole thing. But also, I got to the point where I did like the idea of feeling again, and I could actually do it in a good sense. And in the process of changing a lot of things, I also started attracting a lot of nice people and very caring and nurturing friends. So I get that I didn't have before. But then again, I wasn't really open to anything else either. So you love yourself. I mean, just love yourself and just really think about the situation. It seemed like you put a lot of pressure on yourself that you got to be there for a lot of people. And I really always tell everybody, you're not responsible for anybody in this world but yourself.
It kind of puts that pressure on me.
Yeah, you're not. And a lot of us have a tendency to take on everything. Because people, I'm just saying, with the situation, they're talking about what they look at me and go, well, look what you're doing. I said, but this is a choice. I don't feel like I have to do this per se. I do this because I want to. I love doing this work. And it's one of those things. I've seen a lot of people who are nurses and that kind of stuff really don't like their jobs. I'm not trying to put nurses down or enough like that, but it was like the idea of loving what you do is the idea of loving, I guess you would say loving the world, okay? If you're going to love, you're going to love. So
when you were talking about the nursing, it was like when my mom got sick, I had to take care of her. There was a lot of garbage with the family members. Then my brother took sick, and, you know, a lot of stuff's come down on me, and I just got to learn that I got to think about me. It's really hard. Like you said, I guess I just don't want to face it. I want to, but I don't know. I'm just...
Yeah, they're saying you carry around like this cross on your shoulders. I agree with Donnie. Like, you have to drop it. It's too heavy for you to carry. And I understand. understand there might be some guilt involved with that, but you have to think about yourself first and say, I can only do so much. I can't be everything to everyone and still have a piece of sanity for myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, you're right.
Be strong for yourself so you can be strong for other people. And
yeah, boundaries. Boundaries
yeah,
are great.
Yes, they are. So Tabitha, are
yes.
you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I was I had that nice little thought. I just want you to sit there and think about that. There was a little meditation I used to do, and I do it from time to time when I kind of get lost in the whole thing, or I just start doing too much for everybody else, and I kind of go back and I sit down, I relax, I focus, and I close my eyes and I focus on that. As I call it, there's a little space behind your heart. And I always say if you use your imagination and look back there and see that there's a pilot light that I call the spiritual essence. And as you're looking and focusing on it, tell yourself, I love, I love, I love. And as you do that, you're going to feel a certain energy rise. Because what you're doing is, by focusing on the essence, you're focusing on yourself. And you're telling yourself that I love myself. I love I love, I love. And the point, you're going to see that by doing that, you're also going to understand that you're also connected to Source as well, so that you were always meant to be this loving person. And when you love unconditionally, everybody will feel that, and that really helps more people than trying to take on all their burdens, okay?
Yes.
And just breathe in and then breathe out and just let it go. And you can also take that, I've done this before too, where you take that little pile like, and imagine it growing until it basically engulfs your whole body, as in
mm-hmm.
some kind of, it's like a little force field. And you can see, I've done this before, it's kind of freaky. You can sit there and look at the thing, and you can see your chakra so clearly, and your aura. It almost like it illuminates it. And you can see what you're carrying with you. And for some reason, as you do that, when you see that and you realize that, it makes it easier to let go. So focus on that meditation and just kind of like let things go, but focus on loving yourself. And that's always helped me out. You know, when I kind of like giving out too much, to come back, regroup, and focus and say, I love myself. But just use that little tint, because a lot of people like to work into that whole thing, because loving self can be, they think they're being selfish, okay? But what you're actually doing is taking care of the self. So just say to yourself, I love, I love, and say it until it resonates in your mind. A lot of times people don't understand it, but when you say that too, sometimes you hear two voices. And what you're hearing is you're hearing basically as in a duality. You're thinking that Source is separate than you are. And as you say, I love, I love, I love, you're saying, as I love myself, I love God. As I love God, I love myself, because we are one. And just let that resonate. Because I've always felt good, so try it.
Okay.
Because I quit smoking. I mean, I just sit there and stopped smoking one day and walked away from it just like that. People are going, how'd you do that? And I just did it.
Wow.
I just loved myself so much at that point that I just couldn't continue to do that to myself anymore. And I loved smoking. Don't get me wrong. I loved smoking. But it just came to a point where what was more important. And the cigarettes lost. So I'm just saying, with you, that kind of techniques, what you're doing, you're going to come to a point of realizing it might be a risk to do what you think you're going to do, but you're going to sit there and think about it later on. It wasn't a risk. It was the direction I needed to go in. It was the right choice. It was the right way to go. And you'll continue to do that. When you see those things, you won't see them as risk anymore. You'll see them as the answer and the direction to go in, and you'll just spontaneously keep doing that. And you're going to look back on this as something that as a very vivid memory and way, you know, it's like it's going to be so far away that you probably won't want to think about it again, which you shouldn't, but you'll come to that point. Do you have anything to add to that, Amy?
Thank God I'm going to come to that point.
You are. Amy, are you there? Amy's not with us anymore. Oh, that's crazy. Amy.
Hello?
Oh, I see what happened. Hold up. Amy.
Yeah.
Okay. somehow I got to watch this little arrow. It clicked you off, and I'm like, she's still there. Why is she not?
No,
talking?
It was the problem was my headset died, so I had to use another one. So I had to call you back.
Oh, okay. So that's what. Okay, no, that's
I'm
great.
Sorry.
I was just asking if you had anything else for Tabitha.
You know, I would just really focus on, and what they're telling me here is that she definitely could use some outside help, because I just see her needlessly worrying. The way that she's processing information in her mind, she's scaring herself with the way that she thinks, and she doesn't have anyone to really talk to about this. So
mm-hmm.
if you can, swing it somehow. I know there's free, a lot of free counseling out there if you can't afford it through whatever county that you live in, but I really would try and get with a good therapist. And not to say that you need a therapist, honey. I think what you're going through is completely normal. I just see that we need to really retrain you how to think and how to manage stress and your feelings and emotions. And sometimes we need help in doing that.
Oh, I agree. A therapist is
yeah.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah, it would help. And so I would look into that. You know, even though you're scattered and all over the place, I would really try and get with someone at least once a week and talk about what you're thinking about and your feelings and how you're processing things, because that's where the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Until then, I would just find someone you really trust, a really, really trustworthy person, and go that route too until you can actually get in that situation. But I think once you open your mind up to the possibilities, the opportunity will come to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm all
you're
blessings
welcome.
To you, honey. Keep you in my thoughts and prayers.
Yes.
Bye.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too.
This is the day. Okay, everybody out there, I just want to say thank you for being here, and for all the callers, thank you, and all the listeners, thank you for all the support and listening in, and hope you enjoyed the show. I'm just thanking everybody right now because we got like 4 minutes to go, but for everybody who's still in the queue, hang in there, and we will get to you. That kind of rhymed. Okay. That was... Where was I at? Okay. Amy, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I thought it was kind of fun. I never realized that actually does rhyme. If you stay on the queue, we will get with you. Okay. So, let's go. I promise, guys. I just wanted out there to say one thing as before we go down to the whole thing, so we can go right back to the callers. I always say this every show, and I think it's one of the things you should let it resonate in your life, too. May God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And just go with that whole thing and see what happens. Or maybe just go on with your life. Because I always tell everybody, after each show, Amy, I always tell everybody, I said, take something that you really love, that is so dear to you, and give it to somebody else to do just that, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a lovely idea. Even if it's a T-shirt, like your favorite T-shirt,
mm-hmm.
anything.
Because I always believe that when you give something you really love away, and like the other thing where people give away things they don't need anymore, but I just feel like when you give something away that you love that much, there's more energy and power to that than just giving something you don't want anymore. Because it's like you're just, that's something you're throwing away. You don't want that anymore, so you're giving it to somebody else to use. I understand that, but gosh, just the idea of giving something that you really love, give the best of something to somebody. I think you would, it's one of those things to experience. So just give it a go, give it a try. I know the first time I ever did that was like, whoa. I just think it was one of those things that really affected me for a very long time. Here we go. Taking a deep breath myself. I was just wondering if you caught that. I was sitting there talking to her about when I was telling her about the meditation that you do. Did you catch the meditation, Amy?
Did I catch the... I couldn't hear you.
No, I was saying, did you catch the meditation that I told her that she should try?
No, I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it actually had been handed down to me, and I was sitting there, I picked it up, and a guy named John Randolph Price had it in a book, and it was called Super Beings book, and he was sitting there talking about how to love yourself as you love your, if you love God, you love yourself, because you're one and the same. Love yourself, love God,
mm-hmm.
back and forth. And it was just opening that resonance up, so basically I told her, I said, once you focus on the essence behind the heart, see it as a pilot light. And then as you're focusing on that, tell yourself, I love. I love. And what you're basically saying to yourself is, I love myself. because the essence of God, or the spiritual essence, or whatever you like to call it, is the essence that was your connection to God in the first place. That's my belief anyway. But I understand people call it many things, but I still think it's the ideal source in itself. So, and it was just one of those things of loving yourself.
Right.
Yeah, love yourself, and then take that little pilot light and also expand it to actually covers your whole aura. And I've actually done that to the point where I can actually see my chakras and my aura very clearly. Like, it just illuminated everything. So I could see it.
Well,
so it was easier.
That's great.
Yes. So I gave it to her. It's like, give her a little bit of, you know, some insights so she can actually, I feel like she's going to actually have the opportunity to come to her and what's going to happen. And we're going to be going off the air here, but stay on the queue, guys. We're going to keep answering questions as we go along. So thanks for everybody for being here. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you Monday when I have actually Alicia. Alicia Lyons is going to be on here. She has a show on here. And she's a good reader. And I really recommend you tune in on that whole thing. And we're going to go to area code 786. 786, you're on the air. Help me. Welcome to the show. How are you? And what's your name?
Hi, how are you all? My name is James, and I'm from Miami.
Hi, James.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
And do you have a couple
questions?
What's
on your mind?
Yes. I'm just looking, for the last couple of weeks, maybe for even a long time, I've been kind of restless, feeling very restless, as if I could do more. Right now, I currently work for a school, and I'm a student success coach. I love my job. It's great, but I really feel like I can do more, and I'm kind of looking for that direction. And it also makes me a little restless as far as finances is concerned, because there's so much more that I would like to attain to kind of make my life a little more comfortable. And so that's kind of finances in my professional life has kind of been an issue that's really been pressing on me. And I'm just kind of looking for some direction. So I'm just open for that.
Okay. Let's see. What does he need to do?
Okay. That's
well, good. They say you have to get your energy together a little bit more, because what I'm getting is you're kind of split on moving forward. It's like, yeah, I want to move forward, but part of you is saying, yeah, but, and the other part is saying, let's just get going already. So you're kind
right.
of, you've got two different mindsets about this, and you're trying to move forward. It's almost like if you had, let's just say, a cart with a black horse and a red horse, well, the black horse wants to go one way and the red horse wants to go the other. You have to kind of, as the driver of this cart, take those two sides together and use them together in moving forward. Right now they're kind of splitting apart is what I'm seeing here. So there needs to be some decisions made so that you are integrating as one person moving forward rather than two people moving different directions. That's what I'm getting here. And when you think about moving, they're saying there's a little bit of a financial concern. Are you thinking about moving? I should ask you and not assume, but they're saying with this move, he's wondering if he's going to get the same amount of money or is it going to be crumbs or minuscule in comparison to what I'm making now?
I would love to move, which is the goal, because right now I live with relatives. And so I'm really liking to move into my own place, but because of my job, you know, my income is very limited, and there's so much that I want to do, like a car and having a home, and my income right now is just so very limited, and I was told that, you know, me being at this job is where I'm supposed to be for now, and don't expect a big change or anything, but I just feel so very restless, and I feel like I'm a late bloomer compared to all my counterparts and my peers. I'm really a very much a late bloomer, and I'm just really searching for that niche, that thing that's going to get me forward.
Yeah. One thing I was picking up most really quickly, too, was this. You keep saying your income is limited. You should come up with a different way of saying that right now I am waiting for my big – I don't like to ship either. I'm just saying – something that works for you, but when you keep saying my income is limited, you're telling the universe that I'm comfortable with that. I like my limited income.
Right.
So I just keep getting this impression that changing it to something more of, I put it like this, I always go out every time I go do anything, no matter what kind of money, I always get what I want. And I feel like I'm just telling the universe, that's what I like, that's what I would do. And I just notice that I get more opportunities to keep doing just that. But not just the one, just not to keep the certain kind of shampoo, but I'm just saying it also seems to open other doors too, because I've taken that limitation off. So other
right.
things start opening up too, and it's like a progression. And I've already heard you say that at least three times.
Right.
And
right.
And every time you said it, I was like, ooh. And it came to me, right. and they're like pointing it out going, you're right. You need to get balance in your life, because you've gotten away from your beliefs in some way of what you were really focusing on, and the point of saying, I need more income. And I'm not saying that anything's bad. I'm just saying you're focusing too much on that limited income. And at the time you're focusing, you're always still saying limited. So
right.
they're saying that you need to change that in some way that's comfortable for you, that takes that limitation off there. And I do the same thing. I'll sit here and say something, but they always have a tendency to direct me back to something I've already done that didn't have any limitations on it. It's me rethinking it too much. I put a limitation on it in the process of thinking too much. Because they're saying be courageous and stand up for what you believe. And the idea of what you believe is what you feel like you should be doing. You feel like you should be there. And if you're there, they're pointing out to you, why are you there? I mean, like I've been in situations where they're saying, okay, why are you still there? It's basically because you want to be there. And I said, no, it's not. And they go, yeah, it is. Okay, maybe it is. But what it turned out to be was I was sitting there saying, I can't be successful until I go somewhere else, or I can't until I do this, or I can't until I move. When actually what they were saying was, the reason you're still here is because you have to learn that you can be those things now in order to get where you want to be at.
Right.
Because they're saying once the idea of taking the limitations off, and yeah, I would agree with her too when she said balance the horses, because I kept on saying balance and trying to get these horses together so they're actually pulling you instead of pulling you in two different directions, but pulling together as pulling in the same direction. I'm saying, okay, now we got it together. I guess you say that you're good and you're bad. Pull them together to balance. Because, I mean, it might sound crazy to you, but I've actually, when I was watching Star Trek, they had an episode where Captain Kirk was actually split into two, and they showed you that one without the other cannot survive. Even good cannot survive without evil. They balance each other out, and that's the universe of balance, what it means, balancing everything out, not getting rid of stuff, but actually taking what you have as the full essence of who you are and balancing those out. Okay? So you've got the ideal. It's just the ideal of balancing you out to understand. And also look at yourself and ask yourself, what really does it mean to you? What do you want? I hate to say keep coming back to that point, but that just seems to me that the resonance of emerging from where you're at and where you want to be at is just really believing in you, who you are, instead of the universe. Well, not the universe. Strike the universe thing. It's the world, okay? Because it does say,
right.
It says focus on priority, okay? I keep getting Archangel Metatron, who's saying, really, you need to focus on your highest priority. Without you focusing on yourself, nothing ever happens. You know?
Right.
You are the vehicle that's going to bring these manifestations into reality. Okay? And it's saying that you need to take a retreat. And you need to also focus on serenity. But serenity means within yourself. So it says retreat. Because you're really, a lot of work going on, a lot of things going on. But a lot of energy being expelled too as well. Which, it's like, I guess in some ways, like self-preservation. And you seem to be pulled to a lot of people who are looking for answers. I get that you're a natural counselor. You're a natural counselor.
Yeah.
So in some senses, it's great to help people. And we've actually met a couple of people who really help everybody out. But in the same sense, as I'm listening to this show, it seems like that's the biggest thing, is people need to also be true to themselves so they can
right.
be those strong people to help those other people too. And also taking... And then notice that when you're sitting there working with these people, they're also reflecting back things that you need to work on as well.
Right.
And so it's everybody helping everybody. So you're helping them out. And the reason you feel good about it, because you've had some realizations of yourself. So go with those and go forward.
Right.
So Amy, would you have anything to add to that?
I think, you know, what I get is there's a bit of cautiousness or hesitation on his part, and I completely understand that, but they're saying to manifest his dreams or his goals, He needs to know and have the confidence that he's going to do this, that he's skilled, that he can do this, that he is a master at manifestation. They're saying you've been so lucky, and I don't know where that comes from, but I just keep hearing my guide saying like he's been so goddamn lucky. He should not doubt his own capabilities that he can do this. Oh my God, you need more to fall in your lap or what?
Right. I have. I've been very lucky.
How have you been lucky? What's that about? What's the luck?
You know, especially with this current job that I have, I was an event staffing manager for 7 years right out of high school. I hated my job. I worked for pennies, but I loved the employees, and I loved the different events and shows that I got to do. But I just saw, you know, every year, you know, I wasn't treated fairly. I was always overlooked. I was always taken advantage of, the whole nine. And I manifested the current job that I have right now, which is way more, you know, way more than I've ever could have thought of. You know, I'm a life coach for students, adults who are looking to get back into the workforce. And I'm doing something that utilizes my empathy and, I get to counsel people. I get to come to work and inspire them and to be myself. I get to have workshops and all these things. But I feel restless here now. And it's a steady income, which is the plus. But I feel restless now. I feel as if, you know, there's more I want to do, and there's more entrepreneurial things that I'd like to do. I want to be more in control instead of punching a clock. I want to be able to just, you know, enjoy life more and still be able to touch people in that way. But I just wasn't certain as to how I could actually make that happen and what, you know, direction I should take or was for my highest good to take, especially given my, you know, financial condition, which I'm going to be working on. But, you know, I felt like a late bloomer, and a lot has happened with my mother. I've been taking care of her. I've been taking care of my family, so a lot of that money gets, you know, before it even gets in my hand, it goes out the other way. But so it's like, okay, what now? What can you do now?
Anything that you want to is the answer to that, and that's why she's saying, you know, you've already been so gosh darn lucky. Why are you doubting that you couldn't have anything that you want? Because they showed me a very skilled manifester here in you.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know?
Very true.
So
you just need
to know it. Just know it, you know, and then just go for it. There's nothing – I know you're a little cautious and hesitant about the whole family thing, but they're saying really you've got all the skills at your disposal. All you need to do is decide, and then you can have it. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that's what I'm getting here.
Another thing I got, too, was the idea of the counseling. It's like you're looking for something that could actually propel you where you want to be at. And they keep saying you've been doing this counseling thing your whole life. And it's like almost like something that's really underneath your nose, or something that could be exactly what you're looking for. Because I've done a lot of readings lately where it's been, I'm looking for a way to solve my financial problems. And what happened was it turned out to be something they'd love to do in the first place. They turned into a business. So that was your final card. My spread was actually you're a natural counselor. And it's like almost, this one here was saying, I can read the card to you. It says, you are a natural counselor, and many people benefit from your guidance and reassurance. I also get the leadership card where it says, it's now time for you to assume that leadership role and guide others. That doesn't mean necessarily, because you're really doing that. But I just feel like you could also, with the situation of looking at what I keep seeing is, you want your own business. Consulting, because of the skills of helping other people, you could also give your skills out to other corporations and do the exact same thing you're doing now, but on a larger scale, I just feel like you love the ideal traveling and the ideal living the way you want to. So therefore, does it seem like to me it fits the bill?
Perfect. That is good.
I'll just say what Amy said too. I mean, being so lucky, it's like the realization right now is going, whoa, and look at that. I've done this myself. I look back and go, okay, well, I was sitting in I had a flat tire, had no spare, and I actually manifested a spare tire. Some old dude, I could have swore he was an angel, just came out of nowhere. And I was sitting there talking to somebody, and he came back and he said, you're ready to go. I'm sitting there going, it was like 20 minutes. I'm like, what do you mean I'm ready to go? I said, oh, you said you found a tire. Okay. He says, no, you're ready to go. And I was just so busy. I wasn't even focusing on anything. I was just sitting there talking to the people. And I usually talk about everybody when I talk about what I do for a living and the spiritual stuff and just all kind of stuff. And I was like focusing on that. And it seemed like my angels were focusing me on that. So I wouldn't be focusing too much while I was trying to manifest, because it took my attention from it so it could actually happen. And it happened in 20 minutes. That guy had actually found a tire in his barn, but the rim and everything. He said all I had to do was put air in and I could go. And I only had $20 on me. I only had $20 on me. And the guy goes, I looked at the guy and said, so much owe you. He goes, $20 should do it. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And then we drove off. And instead of going, because, I mean, I just, you know, even when those things happen, what I do, I'm getting to the point right now of keeping my mouth shut. And what I mean by that is, when I was in Colorado, when I got my first apartment, I'd actually locked into this hotel, right? Just walked in this hotel. And I said, I got $17. And I said, this lady drove me nuts, and this is why I'm here. And I said, you know, I sit and talk to her for about an hour, and the lady goes, well, okay. She looked at me right in the face and said, she goes, I promised myself I wouldn't do this again, but I'm going to give you a room. She gave me a room. I didn't realize what was going on until I made this one decision to walk up to this hotel, because my guides came to me and said, you need to go to this hotel. I said, I only got $17. And they go, didn't you say you weren't going to argue with us anymore? I said, oh, yeah, I did say that. So I stopped arguing. I went to the hotel. And what happened was a chain of events. All these good things happened just by making that one choice. I walked into the hotel. I looked at the lady. I said, you want me $17? And she said, no, you need it more than anybody else. But she said, you get paid in 2 days. You better be back. So I said, okay, no problem. I didn't realize that this lady was also the wife of a man that I actually wanted to. He was managing an apartment complex up in Manitou Springs, which is where I wanted to live at. I didn't realize that her husband managed that place. And she came to me one day and she goes, would you like to go look at some apartments? And I'm thinking to myself, I have no money. My guides came to me and said, go look at apartements. What is the worst you could, what's the worst you can have? You're just going to go look at some apartments. So just go. So I kept my mouth shut and I said, okay, sure, I'd love to go. So I went up there to look at these apartments. I found apartment 308, loved this place. And all I kept on saying to myself, I'd love to have this place. I'd love to have this place. And this guy looked at me, which was her husband, Leon. He looked at me and he said, you know something? You don't have any money, do you? I was like, to be honest with you, no, I don't. He's like, okay. So he walks out. He had a smile on his face, too. And I'm sitting there going, I kept my mouth shut the whole time. That's the only time I ever said anything, you know, that could be naked. But he asked me a question. I don't lie. So I told him. And we sit there, and he came back in 20 minutes later, and he's like, so you like this apartment? I said, yes, I love this apartment. I said, I understand I really don't have any money right now, but I'd love to have this apartment. I just come on saying over and over again, I love this apartment. He looked at me in the face, and he said, my maintenance man's drunk again. He said, if you finish painting this apartment, I'll let you move in. And I actually got 2 months free rent out of that. So I'm just saying, do not let the world dictate your success. Look at these situations as what you want, and then keep your mouth shut. And when opportunities come along, just follow through with them. Because I guarantee you, the reason you're being guided down that path is for a reason. And some of the things I've been through are so freaking amazing that I still think to this day that they actually really happened. But I know I lived them and I had a great time. I'm keeping my eyes open for more stuff to happen too, just like that. So therefore, we're going to keep going. So I'm saying with you and the situation, I want you to do the same thing, keeping your mouth shut and your eyes open, and just follow through when opportunities cross your path. And this situation of counseling and what you're doing, it's in a different sense of most people would look at counseling, but you're still doing the exact same thing that we do too as well. So,
right,
you're blessed to do this. Awesome. You're like a natural at this. So therefore, let it expand where it's supposed to be at, and you'll have exactly what you want. Amy, do you have anything else to say?
No, I don't think he needs too much help from us, really. I think he's got all the skills and tools to manifest however he wants his life to unfold. He just needs to make the decision and go forward in confidence and knowing. That's really all.
All right.
Wow. Thank you so much. Thank you very, very much.
Oh, you're welcome, man, and you have a great day.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thank you for calling.
Best
have a great
of
night.
Everything.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Here we go. One more. Well, actually, two more. Here we go. 617. 617. Welcome to the show.
What's
your name?
Thank you for taking my call. This is Venera.
Hi, Venera.
Hello. Hi, Amy.
How are you, dear?
I'm doing okay, thank you. Been listening
on your mind.
Okay. Okay, I'm actually looking to start jobs. I'm just looking to find a job. And I'm, you know, wondering, when do you see something coming my way that's good and it's full-time and, you know. Okay, so I had two interviews about 10 days ago, something like that, with two different universities. And I was just wondering if any of those will come through first.
Okay, let's just take a look at that.
I can give you the names or whatever you need.
Well, really,
I'm just
going to
take a look.
I don't really need any names. I keep getting that. I keep getting, you said there's two?
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting, going for the three. So I feel like there's one after this one. Because I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying I feel like there's something a whole lot better than these two jobs that's coming towards you, and I feel like it's very quick and very soon.
Yeah, those were really good. I understand you're trying to be supportive, and it's okay if you don't see them coming, but they were the top schools in the country.
I'm just saying, some answers come to me very quickly, and I'm trying to sit there and go, how can you say no nicely? But I got no on those two, but I keep getting a third, which is going to be, it's almost like something's going to come up this week as an interview toward the end of the week that's going to span out, okay? That's going to cancel out the two. I still feel like they're going to say no, but I don't think it's going to be such a letdown because of the third coming through. I feel like in the next 2 weeks, I feel like there's something here in the next 2 weeks. I know you say these things are great, but this thing here, I keep getting the word it's going to overshadow.
Yeah.
So this is what Amy says.
Can you tell me, like, I'm sorry, I want to ask, if you don't mind, I want to ask you a question. Can you tell me, like, why? Like, did I do something, like, did I not perform very well in interviews or, obviously, or anything?
No, sweetie. It's the ideal. I feel like things are actually, when I look at the world, when things don't happen, it's because they're being X'd out for what I really want. Being X'd out for what I actually do want. The universe is very, very generous. Every time I've ever asked for anything, I've always gotten more.
I know, and I'm doing that. You know, what I'm doing every day is I'm saying I'm thankful for 100 things that I'm thankful for just to change my energy because I honestly had a really rough time for the last 5 years, and it changed my energy so much from that of success into a different vibration, which I don't care for.
Yeah, so don't,
and so I'm
don't
like
look,
trying to
yeah.
switch it.
I'm just saying don't feed into what you've done because I don't feel like you've done anything. I feel like you went into those interviews and did exactly what you were supposed to. I also feel like people found it very impressing. Very impressing. Yeah, very impressive. Sorry. Very impressive.
That's what they said.
I'm just saying, with the situation, it's just pick and choose. Okay? And it's just one of those things of actually being directed toward. Because I told my daughter the same thing. When something happens to you, you get fired or you don't get a job, it's just sending you into another direction to get where you're trying to get to in the first place.
These are, like, really top schools, man.
I was just seeing Amy is... I'm losing my mind.
Well, I agree. I don't see either two of these coming through. I get you made a great impression on interviews. I'm just seeing there's a little bit of greenness there. So I don't know what it is you're going for, but I'm just seeing there's a little bit of, like, being a novice or looking for someone with a little bit more experience is what I'm getting. So... I don't see that either one of them coming through, to be honest with you. When I ask what the best course of action is with regards to your job plight, they're saying really what she needs to make a decision about is whether or not she's going to stay in the area or not. So I don't know if you've considered changing or relocating looking.
None of these jobs are in the area.
Okay. Because that's what they're saying. You're going in the right direction looking outside of the area, but I don't see either one of these two coming through. So I would keep looking. I wouldn't stop yet.
I'm just I'm very disappointed because I actually spent 2 years in a degree. I have two master's degrees, and they made me get a third master's, which is not helping me in this regard because everybody wants a postdoc now.
I'm just saying, I wish we had schools. that teach you about self. I'm not trying to cut you off or nothing. I'm just saying I understand what you're saying, but in the situation, what you really should be focusing on is you are a very talented, it's like you're beating up on yourself because you didn't get these jobs. And I understand what you're saying, but I have gone to college for a lot of things, okay? And I'm not doing those things. Now, they do affect my life from time to time, that having that knowledge has helped me out a lot. But it's like with the situation of letting the direction and following that direction and going forward. Because the reason I stopped you is, yeah, I do. I've done the same thing myself, and putting energy into those things that I have done, I've already accomplished those things, and you should be very proud of yourself for doing those things and not being beating up on yourself because they haven't got you what you wanted. It's tracing you back to you. You have full control exactly what's going to happen with you, and to follow that guidance and say, okay, I love what I've accomplished, but maybe I should open up more to the possibilities of exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, sometimes we limit ourselves because of money. And I'm just saying, with the situation of actually solving that problem that you have, it's the idea of finding your true self and saying, what is that? It's okay. Because, I mean, I do meditations all the time, and sometimes when you pick things up, we're kind of curious about this whole thing. And I've actually done meditation with some people who freak out because they're like, I'm being guided to something that's very powerful that they're kind of scared of because they don't have any schooling for it. But then they start really putting themselves into it and start realizing they're very talented.
But, you know, I'm 32, and I'm seriously, I understand what you're saying, you know, because, I mean, I'm trying to say that to myself, but mm-hmm. that's what I wanted to do. And I told them, I said, what about I don't do this, the third masters? I already have two, which are very similar. I didn't learn a thing on the third one. And let me do, you know, finish this off and do postdoc. And it was not, you know, okay. And now... Mm-hmm. Now everybody wants what I thought, that, you know, and I cannot go now and get a postdoc because I just don't think that I should get one. I am already very qualified, and you know, I have all these degrees and a lot of work experience. I'm ready to start working. You know, I am mm-hmm. so tired. I cannot go and do a postdoc another 2 years and get paid peanuts when I have loans to pay off and all these things that I really need to consider and help my family mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm trying to be positive. I really am, but I mm-hmm. just.
Saying, I just feel like that there's a different avenue that you haven't thought of. I feel like it's going to cross your path. I still feel that there's a third opportunity coming in the next, God, I keep getting 8 to 10 days, in the next 2 weeks, okay. 8 to 10 days. And it's something, and it's going to be one of those things that I keep getting the impression it's so obvious that you're going to sit there and think, I just get the impression you're thinking that you didn't get this job, which was a blessing in disguise. I just keep getting a very strong impression from my angels to keep saying, look past the illusion. The illusion is that you didn't get those jobs, but you shouldn't be so hard on yourself because you didn't do nothing to keep yourself from getting those jobs. It was just, you know, like I said, pick and choose, but it's also a direction for you, saying, okay, and if you don't feel like you should go to school anymore, that's a strong sense that you're feeling there.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, when you said that, I just feel like it's like finding a different avenue to accomplish what you're doing. So keep going, and there's something coming through. And so look past the illusion is what you're looking at right now. I'm saying, okay, well, stop doing that. And then go on. Because if you kind of like, if you sit here and think about all this, what you could have done, what did I do this right, or did I sit right, or did I make a gesture, or did I wink at the guy when he didn't think I was, and you start going over and over and over again. What you're doing is you're taking your focus off of what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's coming, and I just want you to be open to embrace that. Because it is, I feel it very strongly, it's going to drop in your lap, and you're going to go, it's a good thing I didn't get those jobs, and you're going to see that as a directional of leading you where you ended up at, okay?
And is this job something to do with the research and teaching, or is it something completely different?
My angel said that something you'll need to discover, and we're not, it's not a mean thing to say, but sometimes when you focus on details and that such a thing, you're too focused on the details to actually see the opportunity when it comes to you. And that's why I keep picking up, and I can only tell you what they tell me. I don't have any more information to tell you. I'm not going to put a spin on it and say, okay, logically, you should think about going back to school. No, I'm not going to do that.
No,
I'm saying, I'm just saying with the situation, it's really coming up here in like 8 to 10 days. I'm just saying, I don't get any details about what it is. What they keep saying is that you're very skilled and talented, and this is right in your alley.
Yeah, because, I mean, just practically speaking, you know, I mean, okay, I understand. Like, that's just real quick, because I know you have to probably get to the other caller. But I have three degrees. I spent 2 years in the third one, and I've learned from it. But, you know, the people are not really finding that valuable as much as, you know, what some other things, which is, I mean, the postdoc, which I just told you that. But then, in my school, the same school that asked me to do the MSW, they just hired somebody who doesn't have it. She only has one degree and a postdoc, and not one publication. But they even lied on her behalf. They fabricated one extra master's degree that she didn't have. You know, initially I was also going to apply for the job here in the same school. But when I saw what they were doing, you know, they actually lied. They nominated her for a conference, and in that letter they said she has an extra master's. So I was like, I cannot work in this kind of environment. So I pulled it off, and that actually brought a lot of pain to me, because I was like, wow. So then why did they ask me to get a master's, which obviously has no value? You know, that's mean. That's very
That is true, too, but it also points out to you, like you just said, why would you want to work with people you can't trust in the first place? So I just feel like that's a directional, pointing you in the direction where you're actually going to find some people that you can work with, that will work with you, but you can also trust.
But, like, these two schools that were completely different, though, you know, it's fine.
I know.
I mean, I didn't get
I'm
that.
Just saying, it's one of those things of, you know, like I always say all the time, and it always comes to me very clearly, yesterday's gone, let it go. Because I guarantee you what's coming, you're going to anyway.
And would you invest 2 years, 2 extra years? Like, you know, you understand my situation, right, with the postdoc. Would you invest another 2 years with a very low pay? You know what I mean? Would you do that?
If I was in your shoes right this minute, no, I would not.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I know I deserve, like, to be on my own and go out there and do my research or do my project, because I can do it, you know?
Yes, you can. That's the whole point. It's just that the universe is leading. See, let me give you this example, okay? I used to hitchhike a lot, okay? And I always sit there and go...
You use the internet, you said? Sorry, I didn't hear
you. No, I used to hitchhike. I used to hitchhike quite a bit. And what I would do is I'd go to the highway and I'd go, okay, God, where are we going today?
Yeah.
This relationship or this situation didn't work out, so I hear him on the highway. Where are we going?
Yes.
And I was sitting, so I was hitchhiking a lot, and I couldn't figure out why. Okay, I said, "Well, this happens a lot," and I didn't know in a sense what was going on, but I was sitting here talking to my friend about manifestation, and he said, "Well, how's it work?" I said, "Well, it's like hitchhiking. You know, you put it out there. This is what I want." And I said, "Hitchhiking is like this. Sometimes you get a ride in 5 minutes, and sometimes you get a ride in 2 hours. What's happening is God is aligning up what you need at that time to get you where you got to go." So I was like, oh my God, now I just realized that I was actually in a learning experience of hitchhiking that now I'm passing on to somebody else. That's what I'm saying to you with the situation. Just what just happened to you is that you're thinking, like I used to think a lot, I missed my ride, when actually it probably wasn't even going in the right direction I wanted to go into. So this situation happened. It takes you away from the environment you really want to work in the first place. And I'm just telling you, in the next 8 to 10 days, I really feel strongly that an opportunity is going to come to you, that what you've been looking for, what's going to fit your needs, and just everything that you've been looking for is going to make you feel like you have accomplished something and go forward with the whole thing is happening, and the universe is lining it up for you, just like it was when I was hitchhiking. It could happen 5 minutes. It could happen 2 days. I'm just saying, with the situation, they happen a little faster than that, trust me on that. But it was also another thing, too, I realized, too, with hitchhiking and those things. It was kind of funny how the rides happened very quickly when I just kind of, like, let down my resistance and just let God, the universe, whatever, do what they were supposed to do. I just put the order in. I would sit there and did what I did. I put myself in the right position, the right place, and then all these things came to me. But I did notice one thing, that when I sit there and said, okay, I want to ride that can take me at least 40 miles, and I just let it go. And I sit there and put my thumb out. And 5 minutes later, someone come up there and took me 150 miles. And I said, what was the combination? What happened? It was me letting go of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you. So what I'm doing, so what I'm doing is, once in a while I write things down about the perfect job I want. I just say thank you, I have a perfect job and I love it, and you know, I say these things and all the things I want as if they are happening now, and I burn the letter, and I also say 100 times, you know, things that I'm thankful for, 100 things that I'm thankful for, and I, you know, so is this good technique to do as well? Or?
Yes, it is, sweetie. But one thing you need to do real quickly is you need to balance that energy of yours. Wow. Because you were talking, I don't think I could keep up with you talking. And I thought I talked pretty fast.
Trying to rush because I know you have callers.
I understand that, but I still sense that you need to balance that energy. And also focus, as you're focusing on what you're trying to manifest, also ask yourself if you're catching yourself going, because you're talking a lot about the past too. You can't focus on both of them because you're splitting your energy. You need to focus on one or the other. That's why I was telling you, you need to let go of the past. Whatever happened 2 seconds ago in the past, just let it go and then say, okay, all the affirmations and the things you're doing, they're great. Keep going there, but just don't go into, just don't let yourself be pulled back. I know it's an easy thing to do, but you're aware of it. So therefore, take your affirmations and focus. Like you said, I do the same thing. Thank you, God, for the 4 readings I did today and for the $400 I made. Thank you very much. And I just let it go. It's all, you know, like it already happened, and it's going to happen because it's happened so many times before, too. And you've seen that with your own life, so just let those play out. Amy, are you still there? Amy? Amy? Well?
Okay, well.
But no, just do that, okay? And definitely check back with us and tell us how things are going. But I just feel like there's an opportunity to come with you, okay?
Thank you.
Alrighty.
I really, really appreciate this chat. Thank you very much, and your advice is very meaningful to me. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You have a great night. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amy? Is Amber still there? Amy? Hello? Let's go to our last caller. Hello? Welcome to the show, and what's your name? Hello? Hello? That's freaking weird. Let's try this again. Hello? Amy? Amy? I really want to say bye. Is anybody there? Hello? Hello? Area code 111111. You're the last caller. Are you there? Hello? 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 That's crazy, isn't it? I can't get anybody to come on the freaking show. Hello? I can get anybody to come on the show. We're all having a great time. Everybody's been popping in and everything. And if you're listening to this in the archives, it's one of those things of thanking you and everybody who's on the show today. Just having a great time and exploring a lot of topics, and it just seemed like a lot of things have released me and really go. It's a great topic here. Which was so great about the whole thing is we didn't really specify any kind of topic at all. And the show kind of took on its own energy of what was actually going on. I thought it was just amazing. So, area code 1111, you're on the air. You're actually on the show. Are you there? Hello? Hello? Okay, Sugar Baby left. His name is Michael. He attended my college, and I have... Oh, my God, Jesus. I want to sing a song and chat along. Sing a song, ding-a-dong. I forgot to push play. I forgot to push then. My gosh. OMG. What does that mean, I think? Okay, Mary Lou, there's nobody here. That was crazy, wasn't it? Hey, Amy. There's nobody here. I gotta go. Well, guys, thank you for being here on the show. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And like I always say, God, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day. And we'll see you Monday when we have a lady called Alicia Lyons, who is a ordained reverend. She's also Wiccan. And she has a show on her Blog Talk Radio, too. So tune in Monday. And if I'm not mistaken, we're also going to have a lady, her name is Jackie. She has a show here on Blog Talk Radio called The Angel Whisperer. And she's going to be with us Tuesday. And then, you know, we're going to be here Wednesday, too. But also, guys, I want you to sit there and think about this as you're listening to the show. We're actually going to move everything back to 8 o'clock. So it's going to be from Monday through Wednesday. I'm sorry, Monday through Thursday. It's going to be 8 to 10. And then on Friday and Saturday, it'll be 8 to 11. So tune in for those different dates and check it out, and take the note and write it down. And we're changing the hours. We're moving back to 8 o'clock Eastern. Monday through Wednesday, there are only 2-hour shows from 8 to 10. And then on Fridays and Saturdays, when we do our readings, it's going to be 8 to 11. So join us, and we'll all see you then. I'm going to have a nice time listening to the music of Foreigner.